Jesus Christ, you people suck.
Wow.
Marine on a tangent.
Back in the days when we played video games, it was hardcore for the nerdy and lazy. Now things have changed, and all our video games are also for the casual landlady.
But that's okay, you know the score. We told you a million times before, playing consoles, not just games, is in the past.
Post Turkey Day episode of M4G Radio. I hope you're full, because now you're going to get full of bullshit.
Yeah. Which does not taste as good as turkey.
It might, though. As we had anticipated, the Professor Chaos has not made a return.
Of course he's not here.
Two consecutive weeks
in a row. Of course
he's
not. Even though he promised us last week.
Yeah.
I even called him out on it last week, and I said, you won't be here next week. And he said, no, I'll be here next week. Guess
Dude,
what? Not here this
that's
week.
That's what he always says.
Where's the soul? Where's the soul?
Yeah.
I miss the soul.
It's back to boring white people.
Yep.
The soul is gone.
And the whitest person in the room with us today is Gambus Khan.
Easily.
Jason Gambro.
Hey. Easily the whitest person in the room.
Definitely. Also with us, we have the Wombat Ryan Wombo.
What's up? I'm very sorry that Terrence isn't here. Or
I am
Professor
too.
Chaos, sorry.
Yeah.
Broke the fourth wall. Isn't here this week. Because he really does add a
he
different
add.
Element to the podcast.
He adds a little bit of flavor.
As long as you don't say Flavor Flav, we'll be all right. Also with us, we have newly trimmed
Wait,
Justin
what?
The Killer Wolverine.
Trimmed?
His hair.
My hair.
Oh.
Did you not notice his haircut?
No.
No.
I didn't notice.
You didn't notice last
haircut.
Week he looked like Shaggy?
I was
week,
hoping.
He looks like someone
Scooby-Doo.
Else.
Scooby-Doo. I was hoping you were talking about his head hair and well, not a trim anywhere else.
Why would I know about anywhere else?
Exactly.
That's the
why
question.
Well, his mom told me.
Yeah. What?
Brian Peterson's mom told him.
Yeah, that's... what?
What can I say?
That's
but
disturbing.
We have some fondling to talk about. And I hope you guys played more than I did over the holiday weekend.
You know what? I played the same old stuff.
You know what? I played an 11-year-old game, so...
Nice.
How's you?
I actually did play one new game.
How's your body moving?
What?
Body moving, body move. Never
what?
Mind.
What?
What?
Just
huh?
Leave me alone. What was it we said? Do we need to start with? We need to start with the Killer Wolverine.
Yes.
Was that
the comment?
That was the consensus.
Start,
last
because
week.
By the time we get to him any other time, he's just like, I don't care. Fuck it. Fuck this show. I played your mom like a flute.
Oh, wow. I don't even remember half the shit I played this.
Well, you better start remembering now because you're on the spot.
I did get a couple Christmas presents early. I got Mortal Kombat versus DC.
Woohoo!
I beat it on the Mortal Kombat side. I like it, but it's got its issues.
Yeah.
It does definitely have some
You know, the
issues,
more I play it, the more I get in tune with the like flow of the game,
yeah.
And I get so much better at it,
yeah.
And it's so much more fun now.
That's like my second, when I first got the game, I tried to just play it through on arcade before I did the story mode, and I was getting owned.
I'm
but
like,
by
I
the time,
suck at this game.
By the time I finished the first playthrough arcade, my story mode playthrough, and my second playthrough arcade, I picked it right back up.
I've definitely found my favorites already. Like,
yeah,
Sub-Zero is fucking awesome.
Me too.
Raiden is fucking awesome. I love Katana.
I like Liu Kang, Shang Tsung, and Superman.
Superman's badass.
I tried that. What is it? That combo?
Combo challenge? Dude, that thing's
that's
a bear.
Hard as shit.
I got to 6 or 7 with Raiden.
Yeah.
And then, I got to 6. I skipped 7 because I couldn't do it because it had the... that timing where you had
did
to
you,
be almost perfect.
Well, did
yeah.
you... did you? Do you know the little trick?
No.
How it flashes the light when you're supposed to do the move? Like, if you pay attention up in the top middle, it'll flash a little white light exactly at the time you're supposed to do the move.
No, I didn't see that.
That helps a lot, but it's still fucking
hard.
Like, I'm on Superman's, like, 7 combo, where basically he jumps at you, hits you once, does a 3-hit combo, knocks you up in the air, you pull him back with the blow breath, when he knocks you up in the air, you hit another timing combo and hit him again.
Yeah, the problem I had with it was it didn't seem to register all my combos. Like, I was trying to do the one with Scorpion where he... teleport uppercut and then you teleport uppercut again where he does that kick and then the teleport uppercut or the low punch I think it is low punch and
yeah
then
low
punch
and then he teleports uppercut
you do that twice
yeah
And I did it like five times, and the thing's still telling me that I need to do that.
That's because
combo.
You didn't time it right.
Gotcha.
There's that little watch for that little flash. Once gotcha. You start seeing that, it'll make more sense.
See, it seems like it should count it. If I land all the hits,
yeah,
it seems like it should count.
But that's why it's called specific timing.
Gotcha.
I tell you, I don't know anyone else because I've only worked on Raiden's, and his is a bitch. And I skipped
They're all
seven.
A bitch.
I went to eight, and I had the time. It's where he. You did his, you know, Raiden's move where he grabs you and electrocutes you?
Yeah.
And
punches
you or whatever?
Yeah.
It's that, and then he teleports after the first punch, and he catches you and does it again. I can't get that damn timing down. I got it to where he punch, teleport, and then misses the grab.
Oh.
It's just frustrating.
Raiden's a good character, too.
He is a really good character.
He's actually really good for Dark Khan. Like, he makes Dark Khan pretty easy to beat if you use the...
Dark
the
Khan!
Oh, yeah, then, I beat him to death in this MK story mode with Raiden.
Hey, you know what I find is very interesting? Is
that's a change of volume there.
This game, Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe...
I feel like we're listening to Frasier Crane.
I know.
Yeah, I just find it interesting that... That this could be the first fighting game where if you're playing online and get someone else, you could literally say, I'm going to blow you to death.
Anyway, what else are you playing? Because I'm going to let that go.
Hey,
I'm going to blow you to death.
Gambus Khan's Happy Fun Fun Time game.
Wow. I like I said, I did beat the story. I didn't play much in the arcade. After I beat the story, I was pretty much done because it pissed me off. That game pissed me off.
What game doesn't piss you off?
True.
What difficulty are you playing it on?
Normal.
Drop down to very easy if you start having trouble with it. I play it on normal, too. But
the AI is just cheap on normal. It just is because like you'll get to a certain character, and then they'll just beat the fucking piss out of you.
I play all my... I got to clear my throat out.
Let me clear my throat.
Yeah, I always play I play all my games on Pansy.
Do you?
Yeah.
See, I always play mine on normal unless I'm in a time crunch and I'm trying to beat it, like specifically Mirror's Edge. I played on normal all the way up until it was Saturday night and I was supposed to bring it back to zero the next day, which I
forgot
to do. So I was thinking, you know, I have to beat this tonight so I can take it back to him tomorrow. So for the last level, I dropped it down to easy. But
it's
usually try and play everything on normal because it seems like a pretty good challenge.
No, I just suck at Mortal Kombat.
Pretty much, I just suck at Mortal Kombat.
And then I played Call of Duty 4. I know I don't have to in anticipation of World of War, but
it's definitely not a prequel.
Well, right, obviously. I just wanted to beat it because I never did get around to beating it. I just had
Call of Duty 5 is a direct sequel to Call of Duty 4. It takes place 60 years in the past.
We go back in time. Gotta get back in time.
So I just wanted to beat it because...
You haven't beat it?
I haven't beaten it.
And you're on your pile of shame?
Yeah, well, it's
mine too.
It probably will stay that way for a while after...
I got a large...
Getting through it.
Large library.
The sniper level wasn't as bad as y'all made it to be.
I don't like the sniper level.
I love the sniper level.
Because the whole point that I didn't like, I like the actual shot that you have to take.
Yeah.
But carrying his fucking ass back to the thing.
Well, I didn't have a problem with that. I didn't have any. The problem I had was with you crawling through an open field, and then an army just comes at you, and you have to stay still and anticipate the movement.
Right. That part.
And I anticipated it, and no matter what I did, they saw me. So what I did, like on the fifth try, is I trailed all the way to where there's a fence. At the end of the the field, and just hit underneath there.
You know what the easiest way to do that is?
No.
Just when you do that, when he tells you to crouch down, stay low, and anticipate the movement, just go right behind him.
I did. They saw me.
Really?
I was sniffing his ass, pretty much, is what it looked like on the screen.
What?
And that he was like, we've been caught, whatever. So I went to the fence, and then it looked like they were going to see me because an enemy troop stood there and turned right down and looked at me. And I was like, shit, I'm going to do this all over again. But he looked up and he went on. So that part was the most. But then
why does that grass have a hand?
I'm curious about this weapon that this mound of grass seems to be holding, but not curious enough to investigate.
Yes.
But the part where I'm at now, I don't know if I'm ever going to get through. It just frustrates the hell out of me is where you got to go disarm the nuke that's coming towards New York.
Yeah, I haven't got to that part yet, I don't
think.
That's
the last level?
Yeah. You got 10 minutes to get the disarm codes and all
that.
Yeah,
it's sad that I still haven't beat that game.
And after playing games like Left 4 Dead and Gears of War, where you expect your AI teammates to be smart and help you, oh, God, they suck. They suck harder than Boogeyman's mom.
Wow. That was...
Whoa.
Congratulations.
You know, there's a line there, and that you may have danced all around the
line. Oh, I've said it before.
And he'll say it again.
I will.
Again.
Yeah.
So.
And Brian will write a song about it.
Yeah, he will, and it'll be emo and off time.
So, I don't think I'll be playing that anymore. I don't think I'm going to beat it.
Shame on you.
Because I had to really contain myself from breaking something. It was awful.
Maybe you need anger management.
It's called punching shit.
That's not anger management.
My anger management is punching shit. I find it works.
I played Uno for a little bit to see what the avatars were and how they're incorporated.
It's Uno, bitch!
Stupid. They just hit the main
menu. I got your Uno.
Right here.
Is that exactly how it went?
Yes, exactly like that. That's how my Sunday nights are going.
No, that ain't going on the back of the box. Killer Wolverine from N4G Radio says,
I played more Left 4 Dead. I tried to play through this, you know, the single player by myself, but that didn't really happen. I played with Professor Chaos and
Professor
the Gambus Khan online.
Yeah.
Although we couldn't hear Gambus Khan talk, we could see
that
him.
That might have been a blessing.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it might have been. I'm like, guys, help me!
He'd be like, I shot the witch, bitch, run!
And he's played.
Wait, he just went bagok. Does that mean we have to end the show?
Oh, it's over.
Uh-oh.
See you next week.
See you guys.
Yeah, see ya.
He decided
to
put
damn it, you should have stayed silent for a minute.
That's
Zelda. You're a bitch.
I know. He decided to put it on advanced, which this is like my third time playing it, so that was kind of hard. I don't know if you noticed the difficulty.
Yeah, I noticed it.
And we didn't really finish.
It always sucks when you don't finish.
And I guess an actual movie, because we went on to a...
just feels like you wasted your time.
We jumped on Versus, which was kind of cool. How it starts is you are randomly picked to be either a hunter, smoker, or a boomer.
Or a tank.
No. It's decided, but when we played like four rounds of it, there was no tank.
That's weird.
So it's just weird. Random.
I was a tank.
Anything. Were you?
Yes.
Well, cool. Apparently you weren't paying attention.
No, he wasn't in our game when we played Versus.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, but it's pretty cool how you can control, like, you know, the boomer. You can throw up on people, and there's an achievement for throwing up on four people.
That's a good achievement.
For, smoker, you can grab him with your tongue, and there's an achievement for dragging him 100 feet. And then the hunter, it's really cool. You can pounce. You have to crouch to pounce. You know how they?
No, I haven't played this. No,
right. I haven't played the versus mode.
Well, you know what hunt they pounce.
Yeah,
on
they
you.
Pounce on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, in order to do that, you have to crouch and then pounce, and then you can just jump on them, and just claw the shit out of people, and it takes a while for them to die when you're on them. Then you can pounce onto another one, which I did.
And then you can pounce onto someone
else. I love
else.
Pouncing.
Yeah.
It's fun.
You can move from person to person.
The hunter's achievement is you pounce on one, you kill one, and then you pounce on another one.
Nice.
So it's interesting, and it's pretty fun, but I don't know. And then you after that round's over, you play the survivors, and you got to get to the safe room, which I was the only one that did that. It was me and Professor Chaos at the end, and I was running ahead. He got swarmed by zombies. He's like, just leave me. Just go. And I was like, all right, see ya.
Don't come back for me.
Save yourselves.
Yeah, so it's fun.
Save
I want to play
yourselves.
More of that online. Everyone should try it. You jump on. You should buy it.
I should.
Yes,
because
you should.
After last week saying I didn't really dig it, I dig it.
It's awesome.
You know what, Honey Smacks, man.
That's probably gonna get pushed to an after Christmas buy.
Oh,
because I'm gonna have some trade in business before too long. I think I want to get Valkyria Chronicles next, or Valkyria Chronicles, however you pronounce it. Next.
Don't fuck it up. They'll come and attack.
They
you.
Will come and yeah. they'll beat the
and
shit.
And they'll have
out
to wait their turn.
RPG fans don't play around.
They don't.
No, they don't.
They don't fuck around.
You should really buy Left 4 Dead.
It's awesome. I gave it a 9.6.
I think I'm gonna try. My hope is to game fly it, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's good luck with that. So it's awesome. I want to play more of that. That's future, but I'm not done. I got more.
Oh, snap.
It's coming to me as I'm going through.
Snap shizzle.
I did play more Little Big Planet.
LBP in the hizzle.
For shizzle.
Lizzle, bizzle, pizzle.
I could only do the story mode, and before the podcast I was talking about this. I can't get online with it. And
why not?
During the loading screen, it said something about a connection, saying you might have trouble connecting to other people's games or whatever.
Oh, because your connection's too slow?
It didn't say that.
Oh.
And it said check Media Molecule's website for information.
That's weird.
And I went to their website. It's worthless. It is completely fucking worthless. Hmm. They had no facts on any kind of connection problem but a firewall.
Gotcha.
I'm like, this is stupid. So I guess I should my only solution I can think of is hardwiring it. But I never had any problems with my PS3 connection before.
Dude,
so I don't see why that's a problem.
I told you, when I tried to have my PS3 wireless, it was a pain. I dropped connection all the time.
See, when we were playing MotorStorm for that...
I haven't had a problem with anything outside the SOCOM beta, and that wasn't my fault.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't, I'll try it, and I'm pretty sure that'll work, but I don't understand why I have to have
it. And what's funny is I have the exact same modem as Zero Tolerance. But for
that's
some
weird.
Reason, I guess my connection is just weird.
No, I don't get it, and it kind of frustrated me, because I don't want to do the story. I don't buy that game for the story.
Right.
I want to play other people's stuff, and I want to try and create my own shitty level.
Well, then you got to play the story to create your own
I
shitty
did.
Level.
I did. That's the only thing I could play.
Gotcha.
So I sat through the story and thought maybe I had to do something special, but apparently it's my connection. So I want to play more of that, but we'll see on that one. Fallout was my last one that I played.
We definitely don't need another half hour, 45 minute talk about Fallout.
Because that could easily happen.
Yeah, it could easily
happen. I know. That's why I'm cutting it off right now.
Oh. It continues to impress me.
It's impressive.
And, you know, out of what I've... That's been running for my game of the year.
Okay.
It's up there.
Everyone's expecting Gears of War, but I don't think it's going to be.
Oh, and this is coming...
I tell you, Gears of War ain't going to be mine.
This is coming from the Gears of War guy.
I think everybody already knows yours.
So, I don't know. I can't... It just, like we were talking about earlier, it just calls you back.
Yeah.
It just calls you back.
It ain't called me.
Well, then
maybe
you're
it lost my
it.
Number.
Well, you need to give it a guess.
Yeah, but it, I mean, it's not really your.
No, I do enjoy it, and I did have a lot of fun with it. It's just but on my. See, it's another stack on my pile of shame. You know how big I am into FPSs.
Yeah.
I haven't touched Far Cry either.
Yeah, but it's not. You can't really.
It's not really for.
It's
first.
Not.
No,
really
no. I'm
shooter.
Talking about that. I haven't played.
Gotcha.
Far Cry
gotcha. Gotcha.
All. I mean, there's a lot of games that I haven't played that I really want to play.
Gotcha.
Saints Row is another one that
right.
I haven't played a lot of.
That's the thing with Fallout. It's not my type of game either, and I'm just playing the shit out of it.
It is my type of game, and I'm playing the shit out of it, too.
That's we'll what happens
that.
When...
We'll discuss that in a minute.
So,
oh, good. More Fallout.
No, I won't talk about it very long.
It's just the enemies are getting tougher. I found one. Deathclaw. Whatever. I don't have to rethink some strategy.
Deathclaw or Deathclaw?
Deathclaw.
Okay,
I
you
see
said Deathclaw.
In the slides, when it loads, it says in the slides, it says the Deathclaw is a very dangerous enemy. Not too many travelers survive their encounters or whatever.
Yeah, and it's very true because they're fast, and if they get right up on you, they'll... I don't know what they have on their hands, but they're vicious, and they're like knives, and they just bring their hands together and kill you instantly.
The Yaogwai are a pain in the ass, too, because they're fast, too.
Are those
the bears?
Oh, I encountered that one the other yesterday, too.
Those
yeah.
are a pain in the ass.
He killed me, too, so I got to rethink some stuff and get some better weapons, but... Yeah, I love it, and I think that's it. I think.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but if I miss something, then like I said, it's not worth mentioning. Future more Fallout. I would like to say Gears, but I don't see that happening.
Man,
nothing against it. I love Gears. It's an awesome game, but I just
too much other stuff.
Yep.
Too much Fallout.
Yep. Well, yeah, but more Fallout. I want to start Call of Duty World at War, and maybe Prince of Persia. Maybe.
Pop.
I want Prince of Persia.
I got mine paid off. You know, I hope it's good, because the last two I was not a fan of.
See, I loved... I even liked the second one. I didn't think it was awesome. I didn't think it was as good as the first one or the third one, but I liked it.
See, I think
I enjoyed it.
The first one just spoiled the hell out of me.
Yeah.
It was so good.
I would have given the second one probably a... 6.5 or 7, but I enjoyed it.
I just got tired of the combat.
As most people know, I have a tendency to like games that
are mediocre,
are not that good. So,
speaking of which, whatever happened to Too Human? Where'd that game go?
I haven't played it in a while.
I know.
You know what's
me
funny
either.
Though? I looked at it yesterday on my shelf, and I almost popped it in. But for the sake of the podcast, I didn't, because I know if I would have popped it in, I would have talked about it on the show.
So why don't you talk about what you did play?
Wait, I don't. Was Kill Wolverine done?
Yeah,
he said
yeah.
He was
that all your?
Yeah, I was okay. Going to agree that I liked the other. I liked all three Prince of Persia. So I don't know if I want to buy this one or not, though. So maybe I'll just wait to see how your reaction.
It's going
to
be a lot different. So yeah. We'll see.
I know it's going to be different. I don't know what to think of it yet. I mean, nobody's talking about it. There's not been any like hands on or
right.
So.
Oh wait, maybe I'll just wait to see what you guys have to say next week.
We'll see. It's the last game of the year, really.
It's true.
Yeah.
So me, I played a couple things this week. Number one, it always depresses me whenever I have to. This isn't really a played this week, but I just have to talk about it because it depresses me. It always depresses me whenever I feel like I need to buy a new controller because it's like that's $30 for an Xbox controller. That's $30.
I thought they were $50.
Is it $50?
Yeah.
I thought they were $50.
I don't even know. I've never bought one.
I only bought one at launch, but I thought they were $50.
Yeah, they're $50.
Okay, so that's $50.
I should know that.
Plus, I need a play-in charge kit.
Yeah.
That I could spend on a game. Yeah. And instead, I have to spend on a controller because my Xbox controller is in bad shape.
Yeah, mine's getting pretty rough.
The X button sticks real bad, and it doesn't want to push sometimes, which makes Mortal Kombat a pain in the ass. And the left bumper button now is giving me some issues to the point where I accidentally hit it playing Fallout the other day, and it dropped me into third person, and then I couldn't get back out of third person. So I had to like pound on it with the heel of my hand, and it finally cut back into first person. So I'm sad. My 360 controller is about to bite the dust, and my playing charge kit kind of bit the dust a while ago. My battery life's like 2 hours.
Speaking of playing charge kits, where's mine?
Ah, I still have it.
Nice.
You only had it for like a year.
Yeah.
Why does he have your playing charge kit?
Because he didn't have a rechargeable battery pack.
Oh.
So I loaned him the playing charge kit till he got one.
All right.
You know, that was supposed to be like a couple week thing.
Yeah, I got it now.
Yeah,
yeah.
I hope so.
I picked one up a little bit. I think maybe about a couple weeks or so after that.
And that's cool that you brought it back.
Yeah. I was like, man, what do I have two of these chargers for?
Oh. On to games on a system that I didn't have to replace a controller for. I played a little bit of Little Big Planet, not much, just a little.
Just a little.
And I played some more Resistance. A little bit of single player and some more competitive online, which I had some fun with. On the 360, I figured since I bought it for $7 from Gamefly, I should probably play the Simpsons game. So I played the first level and then didn't have time to play anything else. I also played some more Far Cry because I figured since I got it from Gamefly, I should probably play it. And you know what? It's good, but it just isn't. I'm just not really feeling it. Like I don't have a. Like it doesn't make me want to keep playing it for one reason or another. I think it's cool. I think the graphics are great. I think it plays really well, and I like the. I got saved by a buddy, the other day. She brought me back to life.
Yeah.
And then I saved her life, right after that. So I got the two achievements for that, which are worth like 50 achievement points total. But which I thought that part was really cool, but I just for one reason or another I just can't really get into it right now. So I played a little bit more of that, long enough to do one or two missions. But most of my time this week was spent playing Fallout.
Fallout,
which as Wolverine mentioned, just keeps pulling me back in. I can't quit it. I can't quit you.
I can't quit you. I should probably really start playing that.
Me too.
And once again, the more and more, as most people know, I played a ton of Morrowind and a ton of Oblivion, and the more and more I play a Fallout, the more different it seems in those games, because the quests, Oblivion and Morrowind both had a lot of factions that you could work for, and then the factions gave you sort of smaller range quests. The side quests in Fallout are ridiculously long. Mm-hmm. You know, you can work on a side quest for 10 or 15 hours, depending on what side quest it is and what you've explored and what you haven't. So instead of the shorter faction quest, it's all longer side quests, which is really cool and fits the game better. But I really wish that there was faction stuff. Like, I wish you could get, you could work for a faction, like yeah. in Oblivion or Morrowind, and gain rep in that faction.
Yeah, like that a like a guild.
Exactly. Yeah. Like the Brotherhood of Steel, or the Ghouls, you could do as a faction. The Temple of the Union, which is a anti-slavery movement, would be a good faction. Even the Slavers, if you're on the evil side, would be a good faction.
Speaking of that, I did, thanks to Carnage, he taught me how to finish that mission.
Which mission?
The slave mission.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. You do have to go back, and then he'll get you another slave collar. And remember how I said I killed Arkansas?
Right.
He's still alive.
Really?
So I got to slave him and finish the
mission. Oh, gotcha.
So
nice.
Thank you to him. I just wanted to shout out, thank you, tell me how to do that.
Nice.
Shut up and play the game.
So that's all, since Zero is giving us dirty looks, yeah. that's all I'll say about yeah, Fallout. Man. But it, I really do wish there were faction quests in it like there was in Morrowind, but I can live without them because the side quests are so good and the story behind them are usually all very, very
were
well
done. Were
you
dancing?
Yeah. And I think as far as stuff that I've played this week, that wraps it up. My to be played this week is I should be getting my review copy of Ultimate Band. I should hopefully be getting my review copy of Destroy All Humans.
Destroy.
And I've got now my review copy for NCAA March Madness, so I'll be playing that. And we'll see if Prince of Persia happens this week. We'll see.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful that it will. But I'm going to send Far Cry back to Gamefly and see what in my bubblegum machine they send me next.
All right, so we move on to the con.
Alrighty. Let me see here. I played three games this week. And all three are awesome. Okay. First off. I played more Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead.
And you know, the more I play this game, it's like the more genius I see in its gameplay. I mean, when you're playing it, it's like, oh, this doesn't look as good as Gears of War. And when you're playing it, you're like, oh, this doesn't look. I mean, this doesn't have the same level of sound development quality as a game like Dead Space. But I think the gameplay, the actual gameplay of Left 4 Dead is probably some of the most toned gameplay I've ever had on a first-person shooter.
Well, it's Valve.
Yeah. It's Valve. That's all you really need to say about you know, the gameplay. And the thing is, it's an exquisite multiplayer game.
They've had years to perfect the same engine, so they got it down to a science.
Yeah. I mean, it's really good. Have any of you played the audio commentary?
No.
Hmm.
It's an ingenious way of doing it because you're literally playing the game with zombies and everything, but the zombies do not attack you. And there's these word bubbles. They're like just floating in the air throughout the stages. And this is throughout the whole entire first campaign. So it's about an hour's worth of, you know, traveling, or at least an hour's worth. And you go up to a word bubble, and you click the use button, and you hear one of the developers of the game describing parts of the game.
Oh, wow.
And it is extremely in-depth. So they talk about a zombie. I forgot what it was. But they talked about like a zombie type that never made it into the game. That eventually became the boomer. And they talked about all this stuff that you really don't think about when you're playing the game. Like subtle, let me see. During certain parts in the game where like zombies are attacking you and everything, there's actually a additional like screen filter that applies to the graphics, you know, to give it more of a visceral terror type of feel. And it's like, you don't even really notice that, but it's like, now that I've, you know, listened to this audio commentary, it's like, I see things in a new light. And, is, and it talks about like color saturation and stuff like that. All this very, very subtle stuff. And I must commend Valve on some of the best animation ever. They literally had a guy perform, I think, it was like well over 100 death animations.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you get that job? It'd be a great job. What do you
do for
a living?
I need you to die 100 times.
I'm mocap. Yeah. So I die all day.
Yeah, they were talking about how he would do everything from like a, like, you know, impact, like from a shotgun where they would like the, where the guy would like be impacted and like fall back in a, you know, in a very powerful way, all the way to the subtle death animation of like stumbling into a wall and then sliding down the wall. So I mean, it's incredible, man. Left 4 Dead, I give it, if I were to rate it right now, I would award it the award of best multiplayer game of the year.
I reviewed it. I gave it a 9.6.
Yeah, I saw that.
You scored it higher than I scored Fallout.
Yes.
Yeah, did you guys know that the Valve's releasing the posters?
Yeah, I did read that.
Yeah, the movie posters that you see in between in the beginning of each campaign. Neat.
Yeah, I have all of them.
You did?
They came with my game.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. You got... But,
Motherfucker.
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 But, yeah, the Left 4 Dead suite.
By the way, they did the audio commentary thing with Half-Life, Orange Box. Just letting you know.
Did they really?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a great idea. That's the one thing
Sweet.
I'll say about Valve is despite the fact that sometimes I have been known to criticize Valve a little bit on some stuff.
Gabe Newell eats people?
You can really tell, and it's this way with another developer. Well, a lot of developers, but another one in particular that I care for, Silicon Knights. You brought up Two Human earlier, so it gives me free reign to mention
God.
That.
Oh,
you can
bless
tell,
Jesus.
You can tell that
you unearthed the monster.
Whenever they make a game, they really put their heart and soul into it.
Oh, there's
like
never
they
been
really
any doubt.
They yeah. really, you know, get behind their games. So that's the one thing I'll say about Valve.
I got a lot
of respect
for Valve.
They definitely aren't a cash in developer, quote
no,
unquote.
But they are a one trick pony when it comes to types of games. First person shooters. Mm.
At this point, I can't disagree with
everything
you.
Everything is a first-person shooter. And if there's anything wrong with that, it's a good game. It's
right.
kind of like Bungie.
Yeah. Right.
Bungie's got the same one-trick pony.
Yeah, at
you
this
know.
Point.
And
right.
that's where they'll get their criticism.
Which is why a developer like Insomniac is so
they're
much...
special.
Yeah, is yeah. It's,
platformer, it's, shooters, you know, that's
right.
That's
they can
awesome.
Do anything and make it good. That's impressive to me. So, but anyways, that's enough of us... masturbating developers.
So what's the other games that you are playing?
All right. The second game I played was for the Nintendo DS. I picked up Chrono Trigger.
Do you play a DS game?
Yes.
You're
no
kidding.
Freaking way.
Yeah. Yeah, freaking way. Yeah.
Where's my review?
It's coming. It's coming. 2010.
The game will be on greatest hits by the time the review comes out.
Okay. I feel like Zero Tolerance is like a mob boss with Genghis Khan right now. I notice that you still have not given me my review. It has been several weeks that I've been asking you for this.
It's
I don't understand why you haven't
been
able to put
months,
it on my desk.
Several months now. Be swimming
I'm
with
looking
the fishes.
For this review for something called a Korg DS10.
Well, I haven't got my play in charge kit for a year. I don't expect the review till at least 2010.
You understand that I have done you a favor, and I expect the favor to be repaid.
All right there, Mr. Godfather.
How dare you on the day of my daughter's wedding?
You come to me with this, and you tell me that you don't have my review on the day of my daughter's wedding.
All righty then.
Can I have a piece of pie? Granted.
At some point, Zero is going to grab him and go, "You can act like a man!"
I feel like I'm in the middle of Goodfellas or something. But anyway.
It's all Godfather.
Okay, sweet.
I wish somebody had the Tony Soprano voice. That'd just be awesome. I could just breathe in.
It's pretty
I don't understand this. What the fuck? What are you going to do?
Okay. Yeah. Chrono Trigger. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, Chrono Trigger.
That's terrible.
The game of the minute. Fantastic.
the game of 1989.
Yeah, I was about to say the game of the minute 15 years ago. Yeah. Or how long ever.
Yeah, about, ago yeah. Yeah, about 15 years ago.
1993?
Yeah, back when the Super Nintendo was at its prime.
Back when dinosaurs ruled the world.
Yes.
Yeah, the Dreamcast didn't come out yet.
By dinosaurs, I mean that TV show, Dinosaurs.
Oh, how dare you bring that back with his flannel shirt.
Yeah. I used to like that show so when I was a kid.
I had forgotten.
Yeah. That blast from the past. But anyway, yeah, Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger, what I was talking about before you all rudely interrupted me.
You know, Chrono Trigger is probably my second favorite RPG of all time, second to Final Fantasy VI. And I must say, it's a great... Oh, you're getting choked up over there. Okay.
No, it's just my TB. Don't worry about it.
Have any of you played Chrono Trigger?
No.
15 years ago.
When it first came out on the Super Nintendo, yes.
Yeah.
Time-traveling frogs.
Yeah.
Was that a spoiler?
Time.
They're releasing it
frogs.
In 2008. I figured somebody hadn't played it.
Yeah, for those who are not familiar with Chrono Trigger, it's a RPG developed by Squaresoft. They basically made it around the same time that Final Fantasy VI came out. It's basically a collaborative effort between Square and Enix back when they were actually rivals.
Yeah.
Because one of the producers for Chrono Trigger was Yoji Horii, who was the director of the Dragon Quest series. So you have Yoji Horii and you have Sakaguchi from Final Fantasy collaborating on a title. So it's basically a mixture of two rivals. You know, and it's got the artwork of Akira Toriyama, who's, you know, everybody knows, does Dragon Ball. And it's got music from, I can't remember his name, but he did the Xenogears and Xenosaga series, and he's probably in the top five best game composers ever. Incredible music. And the thing is, he actually supervised the music translation from the SNES to the DS version, and it sounds exactly the same, because most of the time whenever they port like Final Fantasy like 4, 5, and 6 to like Game Boy Advance or something, the music would always take a hit. I mean, there's something about the music. They would have to go with a lower sound quality, but I've noticed that the music sounds exactly the same, and that's a good thing. I mean, it's... And it brings back so many memories of this game back when I played it back in, like, what, 93? But the game is just overflowing with charm. I'll give you an example.
Wow.
There you go.
You over there struggling.
You're like, oh, gassy. But here's a...
Ladies and gentlemen, the N4G podcast, the most professional podcast on the web.
I figured it was a perfect time. He's like, it's full of so much charm.
Wow. But yeah, this game is overflowing with charm, and I'll give you an example. There's a
unlike our podcast.
There's a part in the game where the female scientist named Luca, who's one of the party members of the game, she invented the time traveling machine. So she's explaining this time paradox that's been happening, and it basically one of the characters in the game, her descendant from the past. Gets kidnapped by some demons, right? And Luca is explaining the time paradox because if this queen that got kidnapped, if she dies, you know, all her descendants die with her.
Right.
So the main female character of the game, which I think is her name is Meryl.
Meryl. Otacon.
Yeah.
Morty.
Yeah. But
1.21 gigawatts.
Nice. All right. Back to the future. But
back to the Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, back to Chrono Trigger.
Luca.
But there's a part where Luca is describing the time paradox.
1.21 gigawatts. Sorry.
Okay.
I apologize.
apology accepted. And the thing is, you actually see, as she's describing the time paradox, you actually see the demon taking the queen, and you see all her descendants, you know, and the queen just like disappears, and then all the descendants die, you know, because
right.
they were never born, you know,
kind of like Back to the Future.
Yeah, kind of like Back to the Future. And then, just to give you an idea of the charm of this game, then you see the demon come out into the front of the screen, and he freaking sticks his tongue at you right at the screen, like,
I killed all your descendants.
Yeah, I killed all your descendants. So,
what the fuck?
It's all...
I murdered your entire lineage.
Yeah, it's cartoony, you know, tongue-in-cheek. Pretty funny.
Tongue out of mouth.
So yeah.
I like it.
And of course, you got.
I committed genocide on your entire family.
And of course, you got the. You got the half human, half frog. Basically, a frog.
He's a Fruman.
Yeah, he's basically a 5 foot
or
tall.
A Humog.
5 foot tall bipedal frog with a sword.
Homo frog.
Yeah.
There you go. Homophibian.
Homophibian. There you go. That's a good way.
But yeah.
Homophibian.
This game is sweet, man. For any of you who've not played Chrono Trigger and you've played the other RPGs and you like the Final Fantasy series or Dragon Quest, you need to play Chrono Trigger because it's one of the very best RPGs ever created. It's epic. It's got time travel in it. Graphics are fantastic. I think they still stand up pretty good today in terms of 2D graphics. And yeah, you should check it out. Speaking of 2D graphics, the last game that I played this week.
He's learned how to seg.
Yeah. I'm learning. You guys are the masters.
We're the Yoda to your Luke.
Yeah.
You were once the learner. Now I am the master.
Speaking of which, hold on. I hate to interrupt, but that line reminds me. I was clearing out some of my email inbox, and I found an email from like a year and a half ago when you guys first moved in here.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how you were going to have to try and train your wife's cat to not eat on your wires.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually used the line, be the Yoda to that cat's Luke. And I was like, man, that was very profound.
Yes.
So there you go. There's your line of the week.
There you go.
Everybody has to try and use that in some way. Be the Yoda to that blank's Luke.
I haven't made up my word yet.
You haven't?
Oh. No, not yet. It's coming.
But the last game I played this week was Super Street Fighter 2.
You know, as long as this title Turbo is, if you bring it out in one syllable, the show's going to be over.
D Remix.
I did play that too, but oh well. Wasn't worth mentioning.
What?
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm going to kick you in the junk.
Man.
We are in agreement on Fallout, but we are in disagreement on this.
This game comes with a rant. This game has a rant packaged with the game, with this fondling.
Do you get an achievement for it?
No.
You know, I still haven't bought it yet.
Here's the thing. It's awesome. It's probably the most beautiful two-dimensional fighter I've ever seen in my entire freaking life. Well, okay. Maybe that blaze blue game that's coming out in Japan.
Your reactions, or your retractions, I should say,
my
are priceless.
Greatest game ever, but maybe not.
Maybe not. That maybe was not. The Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
Greatest game ever. Well, maybe not.
Maybe not.
But
you see, I just get so excited about certain things, you know.
Just can't hide it.
Yeah, I just can't hide
He's about to lose control, folks.
Yeah, about ready to lose control.
He likes it.
I know he likes it.
But yeah, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Turbo, whatever. Okay, it's called Street Fighter. I'll just call it a Street Fighter goodness. And
no, Street Fighter is that Sonny Chiba movie.
Yeah.
Ew.
Hey, that was a good movie.
It's not a bad movie.
Yeah, it's not bad. But graphics, the colors just melt my television screen. I mean, it's like the oversaturation of...
Is that covered under warranty?
I don't know, man.
Street Fighter melt your TV. We will replace it for free. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to have to return the TV, and they're like, what's wrong with it? I'm like, the colors are, you know, there's so much of a saturation. It was destroyed by awesomeness. But
bled out the coaxial pod.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Indeed.
But the I have
TV
to say,
cried tears of beauty.
It's a beautiful game.
Okay, where's the rant?
The rant. Okay. This rant was actually ignited by by reading the newest issue of Edge magazine.
Edge.
Yeah. And the article,
we gave Resistance a 6 out of 10.
Hey, Edge is an awesome magazine.
Dude. Edge is awesome in some ways and Edge is not awesome in other ways.
When it comes to their articles, they are the best.
They have great articles.
And I'll give you an example. There was an article called Shooter Hell, basically describing the state of what's called shoot 'em ups in Japan. And, you know, shoot 'em ups, you know, if anybody doesn't know, it's basically mostly spaceship shooter games like,
right,
like Life Force, Gradius, Ray Storm.
Fingernail.
The Raiden.
Why do you keep picking it up?
Galaga.
Put it away.
You know, stuff like that. And they're basically known as, you know, shmups.
Right.
Shmups. And the article was talking about how these developers, you know, that specialize in making shoot 'em ups, how they actually, what should I call it? Their business model. They actually prefer to release a disc-based game. Because, I'm getting to my point, because they said that there's a misconception among gaming populace that downloadable game equals cheap or lower quality title. So, and they said that making a shoot 'em up is actually expensive because two-dimensional graphics actually nowadays cost more money to make than 3D graphics. So, they actually are going to be releasing some shoot 'em ups on discs, you know, for PS2. And they're also doing some couple Xbox Live projects as well. But this got me to thinking because I got 90 – here's my main point. I got 90 people on my friends list.
Holy shit.
And only 4 of them have the Super Street Fighter 2 HD whatever. So there's like 4 people out of all that. And I'm thinking to myself, was that statement in that article true? Do people view a downloadable game as a lesser game just because it's downloadable?
I would say yes.
So would it be actually valid for a struggling developer to, instead of releasing it for Xbox Live Arcade, to release it as a disc-based game?
They would have to sell it higher to recoup the cost of pressing.
And American gamers aren't going to pay $60 for a game that probably could have been done on Xbox Live Arcade.
But the thing is, I don't know. Maybe they would make more money.
I don't know. There's no cost for distribution.
There's a difference between selling more and making more money. But
yeah.
I do think that if downloadable titles were on disc as well, they probably would make more money. Or not make more money. They probably would sell more.
Yeah, like if you know, Super Street Fighter 2, you know, the new Street Fighter game.
Right.
If it was released as a $40 disc game, I think it would actually reach more people than the downloadable game because a lot of people. Because I got a lot of friends who are on, you know, PSN and Xbox Live. About half of them didn't even know the game was out this week. So it's like, and the thing is, when I would tell them, they just didn't care. Even the ones who were self-proclaimed Street Fighter fans, they didn't care. Because they're like, oh, I'm waiting for Street Fighter 4. And, you know, that to me, that's really sad because this game is a great, fantastic title. And I personally do not see, I mean, there is a technical difference between a downloadable game and a disc-based game.
Right.
But in my opinion, some of the best games ever made
are... If they didn't care about it in downloadable form, what makes you think they would care if it was in disc form?
Because it's on the store shelf when they go to the store.
I don't disagree, but I don't agree.
Because
if they don't care about it, then they don't want to play it. If they're waiting for Street Fighter 4, why would they buy this one that they've played years ago?
Well, because the quote from the Edge magazine, the guy who's into the shoot 'em ups, he said that there's a conception that that download equals cheap made game.
Well, not to mention, too, on that some people, honestly, as stupid as this sounds, if they have a passing interest in the game and they see it on a store shelf, they might buy it. If they have a passing interest in the game and they see it online and they don't have Microsoft points on their account, then they have to buy more Microsoft points and then buy the downloadable version, and they won't do it because it's too much trouble. I really do think most of these Xbox Live Arcade games, if they were released on disc for $5 more than they sell for online, I think they would sell a lot more than
they do. They did release some of them on disc, and that didn't sell well. I think they stopped doing
the
it.
The ones
well,
on disc.
Well, but I mean, they're not going to sell like Gears of War 2, but
no,
sell
I mean, they
better
didn't,
than it did.
They didn't
I mean.
Sell very well disc-based mm-hmm. versions at all, the ones that they did release. Mm-hmm. The arcade hits that they did with like six games for $40 or whatever.
Right.
It sold crap. I mean, they discontinued it. And I agree here that if you put out a game like Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD in a disc form for $40,
mm-hmm.
the people who are interested in the game are going to be people who know about gaming, and they're going to be fucking pissed that you're charging them $25 more for the disc-based version than just being able to download it.
Well,
but like,
there's a difference, too, between at least what I'm talking about on this, releasing games on disc and downloadable. There's a difference between an Xbox Live Arcade game like Street Fighter or like Mega Man 9 and the 6-in-1 pack of arcade games that they released where they were all just like, what was it? I can't even remember what was on it. It was like
Beating Frenzy,
right,
and
those games.
Yeah.
There's a difference between Mega Man 9 and Street Fighter. If they release those on disc at $20, I bet that they probably would have sold.
But then you can also look at an example, whereas the PSN released the game on disc and download, and the download actually outsold the disc version. They discontinued the disc version.
Are you talking about
Warhawk?
Warhawk and SOCOM?
Warhawk sold more on download than it did disc.
They were
based.
Also prohibitively priced on disc because they came with the headset. So people
But Warhawk was available without it.
Mm-hmm.
Warhawk was available without it for the same price on disc. It was $39.99. So is SOCOM. SOCOM is $39.99 without the headset. Same price as it is online. So, and it sold more downloadable, even with the $20.
Yeah, it sold more, but it sold some on disc. So overall, the game sold more than it would have if it was just downloadable.
If they want to put them
some on disc,
if they want to put them all out on disc, that's fine. But these developers that are complaining about cost, it's going to cost them a shit ton of money to print all these discs, box art, and instruction manuals. That's a lot of money. And then you don't guarantee with digital. The nice thing about digital is if you don't sell it, you're not stuck with it.
Yeah, but the cost to print, you don't have to print a manual. Number one, you can just have an insert like some games have, but the cost to print an insert, a cover, and press a disc is not more than probably a buck or two that they could add to the price of the game if you wanted to buy it on disc to have the case in your collection.
But in order for it to be disc, it has to be priced well enough so people can justify it. If they put Street Fighter out on a disc and it's cost $40,
well, yeah, they
that's
wouldn't
bullshit.
Do that though. They put it out at if they put it out on disc, they'd probably put it out.
I disagree with that because a disc game is more of an event. A downloadable game is basically a passive advertisement. I mean, they literally look like ads when you look at them through Xbox Live.
So you can justify spending $40 on a game you played how many years ago? You can.
It's not the same game.
It's better looking.
It's better looking,
that's
and it's been retooled.
Right. That it's been.
Is it justified?
$40 rebalanced,
though?
But I wouldn't pay $40 for it.
No, there's no way in hell I'd pay $40 for it.
Especially
you don't
not.
Think so?
Hell no. I'm not going to pay $40 for something that was minorly tweaked.
I'd pay 20.
No, it
exactly
wasn't. It was not minorly tweaked.
I'd pay $20, dude, period. I mean, that's it. I'm not paying $40 for this game. There's no way in hell.
Well, nobody has to.
I'm just ask my opinion if I would pay
$40
for it.
If it's on disc and they
really
charge
no
it for some
for
stupid reason, $40.
I would not pay $40 for a game that was minorly retooled.
No.
Well, it was completely rebalanced.
It was completely redone.
It was rebalanced.
From the ground up.
You know, for I can see that from being a Street Fighter huge fan. I'm not a Street Fighter fan, not as huge as you are. I don't care. It looks different. That's it.
See, for me, where it's at right now and its price is perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
That's for me.
I agree, but I do think.
See, I agree too, but as a downloadable game.
Right, but I do think that if some of the higher profile downloadable games like Mega Man, like Street Fighter, like even Bionic Commando, Probably not to the same extent. If they released on disc as well as downloadable, they would sell better than they sell just as downloadable.
Well, they should just make a collection of Capcom games they released. Put them on a disc, see how well they sell.
Thing is, though, I don't think collections actually, in their nature, sell as well as if they would
standalone
be individually.
Titles.
Yeah,
I don't
get because they
that
have
either.
To be priced higher.
And because if you had like a disc that was solely Street Fighter, you'd have a beautiful art cover.
Right.
And believe it or not, that does attract customers.
Especially the kind of customers that get into Street Fighter.
Oh, there's no doubt that the Street Fighter fanatics will buy it. And I'm not arguing that. I just feel that where it's at, it's perfect.
Right.
I
see,
really
like,
do.
As a fan of Mega Man, if they would have released...
Well, see, now you're pulling my emotional cords.
But I'm just
because I would buy it too.
And for
but
Street
that's just
Fighter
I'm
as
a
well,
loser.
Because I'm a big fan of both of them. If I had the choice, honestly, because I'm a geek, and most people, let's be honest, most people that really get into Street Fighter and really get into Mega Man
are geeks.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
If they released the downloadable version on Xbox Live and PSN for $15, or they released a disc version that had full artwork. And a disc, maybe even no instruction manual, just an insert, just an art insert, for $5 more than it was downloadable, I'd buy the disc version for $5 more.
Well, yeah, that's me.
To have it in my collection.
But that's me being a geek.
Right, and most people who are going to play these games are geeks like that. So I think if they put it out on disc at $5 more and downloadable, they would sell more copies than they sell just downloadable.
But those geeks also have internet, so they're going to buy it regardless.
It's true.
Just like
again,
you and I both bought Mega Man, we'll both buy Street Fighter.
Yeah.
However we can get it, we're going to get it. Granted, they put it on a disc, they're going to sell that version to us,
right.
But they're also going to lose the downloadable sale. Because I'm not going to buy it twice.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think they would pick up more sales if they released it both.
It's possible. I mean, but like I said, I just think it's perfect.
You really
at.
Think? Let me ask you this, since you brought it up before. Do you really think that a game like SOCOM on the PSN? Well, SOCOM's probably not the best example. SOCOM or Warhawk, even though the disc versions didn't sell as well as the downloadable versions, do you really think they would have sold as many copies as they did if they hadn't released it on disc? If it was only downloadable.
Those two games are hard to gauge because they're online-only games, so anybody
right.
who's interested in them has internet.
Right.
So those are hard to gauge, but maybe not nearly as many. I mean, you might be looking at a difference like 10 or 20,000.
Right.
But we all know in the gaming world, 10 or 20,000 doesn't make or break a game.
It's true.
Unfortunately.
Right.
You know.
Well, I guess you can look at the sales of Burnout Paradise and see how well they did. On the PSN.
Yeah, because it's fully downloadable.
Right.
Full version now. See how well it's actually selling. I mean, you know that I'm not an advocate of downloadable games.
Right.
I like my physical media.
Yeah.
But there are just certain games that don't need to be on the retail shelves. And there's a, you know, 80 to 90% of Xbox Live Arcade games don't need to be on retail
You're right.
shelves. Same with PSN. 80 to 90% of them do not need to be on retail shelves. So,
but
there you
go. I am with Gambus in that some of them should be on both.
I if they put them on both, that's all cool.
And the thing is, about buying games that have existed for over a decade, it's called preserving a game. I listened to there was this podcast I listened to when they were interviewing this guy.
Dude, I
listen to like several. I listen to all kinds of podcasts.
You're a dirty, dirty person.
Whore. Yeah, I'm a whore. But
yeah, we're gonna take that clip and replay it over and over.
Yeah,
again.
I'm a dirty whore.
But anyway, there was an interview with this guy. He was talking about how re-release of games that have already existed is basically preserving a game. Because
the new generation.
Because people are like, "Oh, I don't need to buy that game." You know, I got it for NES, and then I'm like, "So, do you have your NES?" Do you still have your NES?
Right.
Oh,
do you
no,
have
I don't.
NES hooked up and play it every day.
Yeah, The thing is, it's preserving the game. In my opinion, buying a game that's like a decade or 15 years old is no different than buying a older movie on DVD that you had on video cassette.
Right. I mean, there's nothing wrong with
it. Yeah.
I'm glad they do remake some of these games. Most of them deserve it, but
yeah,
you know,
I never said there was anything wrong with it. I just think it's funny because. I've played it. You know, I don't need to play it again. That's just me.
Well, the thing is, sometimes the great games...
This coming from the person who played StarCraft for 20 hours this week. Don't
but it was,
start.
But you know what? It was still my original disc that I bought in 1997.
This coming from the person that bought all three versions of Ninja Gaiden.
All three versions?
You bought Ninja Gaiden. You bought Ninja Gaiden Black. And I'm pretty sure you had Ninja Gaiden Sigma, too. And
yeah,
they were
I got,
all the same game.
I got rid of all two of them. I'm like, you know, this is dumb. That's the last time I did that. That was stupid.
But, yeah, I'm all for buying games that have been released before, just as long as they're tweaked and a little bit more modernized.
You're not allowed to tug at my emotional strings of one series. Fail. You epic fail.
Epic fail. But, yeah, that's that covers my phone line this week.
Well, congratulations on sparking that. What are you playing this week?
Probably more of the same. I also want to play some more Dragon Quest IV, which is the awesome sauce. sorry about stealing that from you, Zero.
I don't think I invented it. You know, I just say it a lot.
How about this, the con sauce?
Ooh,
that's nasty.
I don't really want any of that sauce. That's all warm and buttery.
Ew.
Anyway.
That's nasty.
I guess I had to talk about... I didn't play much. I played Seen It. Box Office Smash. I really like the new structure of the game.
Yeah, so do I.
I like they changed a lot of the little things. It's very modern, too. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got...
Well, they got a lot of old shit, too.
They got a lot of old shit, but, I mean, it's as current as asking questions about The Dark Knight.
And The Yes Man, which comes out this week.
Yeah, I mean, they have really current questions, which is really cool.
With movies that aren't even out yet.
Yeah.
Man.
So, that's really...
Up to date.
The avatar integration is actually kind of cool, because, like, everybody can log in, and they're all sitting on the couch with their avatars, and they all do little motions and stuff. You know, it's the equivalent of the me being in your game, which is really kind of cool.
I hope they keep up with DLC like they promised the first
game. Yeah, they should have promised. They promised that on the first one. Didn't work.
Yeah.
The other game that I played a little bit of this week, I played Command & Conquer Red Alert 3, which I'm reviewing, and I have to say that game is awesome. I really like the idea of it. It's basically Command & Conquer, as you remember it from 3. It plays that well, but it just has ridiculous units. Just awesome, ridiculous units. You have three factions, the Japanese, the Russians, and the Americans. And, like, the Russians have paratrooping bears.
Nice.
And the Americans have dolphins with, like, lasers on their head. And the
Dr. Evil thought of that up.
The Japanese all have giant robots, like Transformer robots.
Sweet.
So, like, you can have units that go across water, and then they transform into land vehicles.
You know who the leader of the Japanese is in that game, don't you?
Yeah, it's George Takei.
Yeah.
I know everything.
From
J.K. Simmons is the leader of the U.S. He's the president.
Yeah, that's awesome casting right there.
And then Tim Curry plays the Russian leader.
Oh.
There's a lot of Hollywood talent in that game. And the cutscenes are funny. It's good. The tutorial was hilarious, hearing the three guys bicker back and forth in the tanks and shoot each other in between missions and stuff. But it's really deep. It's really good. I haven't found out how good the balancing is yet. So I'll be interested to see that. I finally did get to dive really deep into Tomb Raider. Like, really deep into Tomb Raider.
You took the plunge.
Yeah, I think I'm on, like, the fourth level of the game.
And how is it?
It's really good. There are some problems with the game as far as, like, you will get stuck. And it's not because you don't know what to do. It's because you can't figure out where to go. Like, I was stuck in one area for God, I don't know how long. I was supposed to go collect these two lenses and then take them back to the Shiva statue and put them on the Shiva statue. I could not for the life of me figure out how the hell to get back to the statue. It ended up there was a door hidden behind the last place that I just didn't go through. And I felt retarded after I figured out where it was. I'm like, really? It was right in front of me? And I couldn't figure it out, and it's just... It's really, really, really good, and it's got a very interesting story that, I mean, so far I've seen a clone of myself and a woman with wings. So,
nice.
Go sort that out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So there's a clone of Laura?
Yeah. Doppelganger. Whoa. She has a doppelganger.
Is she evil?
And it is the Helheim. Yeah, she's very evil. It is the Helheim mythology. Nice. I've collected both of Thor's gloves. I'm on my way to collect Thor's belt, and then I will be able to get Thor's hammer so that I can get into the...
You know, it'd be really scary if it was a crossover to two human.
Alder comes out and starts shooting people, and then he has to wait 30 seconds for the Valkyrie to come pick him up.
Oh.
Now, the Tomb Raider has some very confusing puzzles that don't... The new hint system is neat. Like, if you get stuck, you can go into the menu, and she'll say, I should kind of look at this. And then there's an advanced hint where she basically tells you what you need to do, but it never, like, points it out, obviously, where it's at. So even after I've heard a couple hints, I still get stuck sometimes. So, I mean, each level's taking about an hour. I mean, they're huge levels. So some of them taking over an hour. I mean, it's really good if you like Tomb Raider, but just be prepared to be stuck. Combat's pretty easy. It's got the lock-on mechanic, and it's got the slow-mo thing, which is kind of cool. But, I mean, I like it. If you're a really big Tomb Raider fan, you'll enjoy it. If you're not a Tomb Raider fan, it's not going to change anything.
Hmm.
Looks beautiful, though. Looks really good. Did I play anything else? I played a lot of Mortal Kombat versus DC. I played the hell out of that one night. Played through the Mortal Kombat story. I'm getting really... really comfortable with the controls now. Chaining combos and stuff together, and it's really fun. So far I have not missed the rating, the gore. I really haven't.
Hmm.
As much as I think the fatalities kind of suck for the most part, I've not missed all the crazy blood pouring out of people when I'm playing. It's just fun. Did I play anything else over there? I played Bolt. Disney's Bolt.
How was that?
It's a good Disney game.
Uh-huh.
You know?
That's a compliment.
Yeah.
You know, I remember back in the good old days when Disney games were actually made by Capcom.
Well, yeah, this is a different era now. These games are just made to be thrown out.
Yeah, these were just be made, thrown out.
It's not a broken game. Which, it has gotten a lot better in the sense that as many of these as I've had to play in the past year or so, most of them are actually competent games, and they're just not stuff that we're going to play.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're actually kind of fun in some areas, especially if you like the movie. Like, if you're into the movie of Bolt, obviously the super dog, you know, and you collect all these powers in the game, and you have, like, a super bark that, like, knocks walls down. I mean, it's
I don't think Bolt's going to be as cool as Crypto, though.
Crypto? What?
Yeah, the super dog.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I thought you were talking about...
Destroy All Humans,
yeah.
Crypto.
No.
I'm like, what?
No. No, it's not a bad game, and it's good for kids. If kids are into the game, or into the movie, they'll really dig the game. At least it's well made.
Is it easy to play for them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's real simple. Until you start getting into the advanced moves of Bolt, he's like 400 combos, and I'm like, I have issues with it. And then, like, once you, the more superpowers you learn, it's like, here's a new button, here's another new button, here's another new button, here's another new button. I'm like, holy shit. So, it can get confusing at that point, but just running around and tapping one button to attack, you could probably get through a big chunk of the game until you get to a spot where it makes you use the new stuff.
Oh.
So... And honestly, let's be honest with each other. The kids playing games today are not stupid.
Right.
No.
So
yeah.
they could probably kill us all in Gears of War, just kind of putting that out there.
Yeah, probably.
So,
because we're old and slow, and our reflexes have been dulled.
We just look at the game, we're like, this isn't how it's supposed to be.
Pac-Man was never like this.
When I played when I was younger, I had 5 lives, not 1. What the hell is this shit?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been, like, I haven't played a lot of games because of the holiday and running around and all that stuff, but I did play an ass load of StarCraft.
Yeah, StarCraft.
Yeah, and no, it's not a re-release. I have my original disc that I bought back in 1997. I actually have been playing it a lot with my wife. We have two computers in the house, and we installed a ghost copy on the laptop, and we will play against two computers and just have fun.
That's
mining,
awesome.
Mining some minerals and harvesting some gas.
Yeah, I bet you do plenty of harvesting gas.
Yeah.
So you know I do, but no, it's amazing.
Releasing it too.
To this day, there has still not been a more balanced and more fun RTS game.
I have to agree with you on that.
11 years later. It's amazing.
It's an incredible game.
But I feel like I'm in the past now, 1997.
Hey, dude.
Hey, Jude.
I'm an advocate for playing older games because you can learn a lot from the older games. I think developers need to play older games to, you know, to really see where they can actually improve gameplay mechanics.
That pretty much wraps up my week. I'm going to be playing a lot of stuff over the next couple of days to kind of catch up. And then this week, I'm going to get Prince of Persia.
Sweet.
I should get Street Fighter. I have not played it yet because I have not got my code yet.
I'm
waiting on. I was so tempted. And in fact, I was so tempted that I went out and purposely got rid of enough points in my account that I didn't have 1,200 points to buy it, just in case I slipped and did it again. So I will be playing that this week. I'm actually thinking about picking up Destroy All Humans now because it's $40, and you know I still have some credit left. There's nothing coming out for the rest of the year, so I might pick that up. And then I'm going to go back and play all my other stuff. I still need to get back into Fable and Far Cry and Left 4 Dead. I did finish. I played some more James Bond. It's a very short game. Very short game.
Quantum of
Solace. It's based on two movies that were a little over 2 hours each. So.
Well, the movies were longer than the game.
Wow.
If you put them both together.
Wow.
I'm just putting that out there.
Interesting.
You paid $60 for that game.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Yeah.
It's not a bad game.
Yeah, but you got to interact with the game. You didn't get to interact with the movies.
The game is fun. The game is fun. I can't knock it. It is fun. It was a fun little game. But I think that does it for me. Like I said, it's an 11-year-old game was the bulk of my time.
Yeah.
But this week I'm going to get some new stuff in. I still haven't played Resistance and Little Big Planet in like a month. Motorstorm. I haven't even put my SOCOM in yet. I put it in to create my character, but I have not played it yet.
Hmm.
So I have a lot of stuff to play.
Yeah. I think we all do.
Yeah.
Oh, and I did watch the Dead Space movie. I bring that up because it's relevant to the game.
Yeah.
And it is awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. It was a lovely birthday present that Jason ruined.
Yeah.
Yes, I ruined the moment.
How's that movie? I don't know. I don't own it. Yeah, you do.
It's right there on your shelf.
Yes, right there. I see it.
How do you not see it? I'm like, because I didn't look over there today.
Ruined Wolverine surprise.
Oh, well. It is really good, though. And if you like the game, it's cool to watch because it explains how the people came to be the way they are, and it explains what happened on the ship before.
Yeah.
And it's really gory.
It's really, really gory. And disturbing.
It is quite disturbing.
Especially, where the guy has...
Oh, yeah. The big Indian dude.
Yeah, where he kind of goes crazy.
Yeah.
So I guess you saw it too, huh?
Yeah.
Ah.
It's really good. If you like the game, you should definitely watch it. So that's it.
I gotta play more of that, man. Jesus.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I'm the only one in this room that beat it.
Yeah, I'm not even off like the first level yet, I don't think.
I'm about half. Holy Toledo.
Seriously.
Jesus Christ. Of Latter-day Saints.
I think it came out of his mouth, yeah. That's right.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That was biblical. That was like the freaking Leviathan coming out of the... out of the Eastern Sea or something.
Wow. I don't think it was that epic, but okay.
Well,
so close. Now we got some dirt.
Some debt.
And now.
What the fuck?
Been huffing some of those helium balloons or something.
Announcing I has a cold this week. Leave me the fuck alone. Now we present you with Killer Wolverine's Weekly Dirt. Brought to you by Thanksgiving. A time to give thanks for everything that you have, as opposed to all the bitching and whining that goes on the other 364 days of the year. And now your host, someone whose voice hopefully won't crack like a 13-year-old, Zero Tolerant.
It smells like rubber in here. That might have been the most awesome thing ever.
Yeah.
Sorry. I've got the bird flu, so I apologize.
Oh, man. Well, that's it for this week.
Yeah.
All right. Starting in mid-December 2008, fans will be summoned back into Albion's services.
Wait. I think I just kicked this unplugged.
What'd you do?
I think I just kicked my... Oh, maybe it was just the earpiece.
I think it's just your imagination.
There we go.
It
now
just
I'm
didn't
back
happen.
In. Everything went quiet. I thought I went deaf. I was like, oh, God, it's finally happened.
Starting mid-December 2008, fans will be summoned back to Albion service with the release of Not Whole Island.
It looks pretty cool.
Available exclusively on Xbox Live Marketplace for 800 points, gamers will be invited to set sail for Not Whole Island, where new quests, wondrous items, and bizarre characters await you.
It looks pretty cool because it snows.
And in case anybody doesn't know, that's for Fable.
Well, I would think they would know that.
Not everybody knows.
Not everybody knows what Albion is.
Yeah, not everybody knows what Albion is.
They didn't play Fable.
Yeah.
That's true.
I briefly played Fable.
Kansas Gamer has accused Harmonix, publisher MTV, and its owner Viacom, along with distributor Electronic Arts, that the companies purposely shipped defective bass drum pedals in order to encourage upgrades to Rock Band 2's improved drum kit. Now, how did they ship it? Like,
dude, before? Don't try and find the logic in it. Just move on.
Your
lawsuit's going to get dismissed.
Square Enix announced the development of 3 upcoming downloadable scenario expansions for their marquee, massively multiplayer online game, Final Fantasy XI.
I'll give them this, man. They know how to keep an old game ticking.
Like Chrono Trigger.
Oh.
Final Fantasy. All of them.
But at least Chrono Trigger is awesome.
Chrono Trigger is awesome.
I don't like Final Fantasy.
The same
XI,
I cannot be said, or the same cannot be said, in my opinion, of Final Fantasy XI.
THQ and Microsoft's Massive announced a global multi-year in-game advertising deal.
Nice.
Sony has put up a home destination on PlayStation.com featuring everything you need to know about PS3's social networking app.
Sweet.
So when it comes out in 2012,
you'll know all about it.
And you still won't care.
Oh, David Jaffe.
Oh, God.
David Jaffe. Oh. Do I have to read this whole thing?
Man.
You don't
Holy
have to.
Shit.
I just put it in for fun.
Basically, David Jaffe thinks Gears of War looks awesome and that he saw God of War 3 and he thinks it's incredible. There
what was
go.
The other comment that he said about somebody's mom?
Basically, from what I understand, some forum poster was calling him out about something or making fun of the way he looks. And so he went on this rant about hating fanboys, which I agree with him. I don't like fanboys either. But then he started going on about how he shoved his cock in this kid's mother's mouth. And
that's a very pleasant role model.
It just spiraled out of control. Look, you know what? I like David Jaffe's games. He makes awesome games. But I'll say the same thing that I said when one of my favorite developers went off the deep end. Give it a rest, all right? Just give it a rest. Be like Ted Price at Insomniac instead. Be gracious and professional. I understand that you don't want to be a conformist and you want to go your own way, and that's fine. You can do that.
Go your own way.
But you are an industry professional in an industry that's been struggling for a long time for legitimacy. So be a little more professional and don't say that you're shoving your cock in the mother or into the mouth of the mother of a forum poster on some random video game forum.
He's
which
probably
I'm
like
probably gonna get
to
I'm gonna get attacked for calling NeoGAF a random internet forum, but
oh well. Seriously, what are they gonna do? Come to your house and complain?
And make fun of games that I like?
Yeah, and complain because something has screen tearing.
No, look, like I said, I like David Jaffe's games. I think they're awesome. But in a case like this, just take the high road. I know that you think you're not a conformist and you don't want to bend to anybody's will, but just take the high road, man.
Yeah, if David's listening,
he's not listening.
Well,
he's gonna come on and say "fuck you, GambusCon."
Theoretically, if he is listening, yeah, you don't have to curse out people. You don't have to put people down. You know, if you want to be a cool guy, just get a leather jacket and some dark sunglasses.
Yeah, that makes
there
you
cool go.
Guy. If he is the type of person that cusses and someone instigates a fight, you know that's going to come right back.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the problem is, I mean, I understand that the forum poster, there's no doubt the forum poster started it. There's no, you know.
Well, he wouldn't come out and say that if he wasn't instigated.
Right. No, it was definitely instigated. But here's the thing. He's a forum poster, and you're David Jaffe.
Right.
Why do you care?
Yeah. Whose life is better?
Yeah, just, I mean, just let that kind of stuff slide.
All right, we're going to move on now.
Yeah.
Visa has released a PlayStation credit card. Getting one scores you $150 off the purchase of a PS3, which makes it just under a grand, right?
Wow.
Sorry. Sorry. I'm kidding.
Humor there.
Jesus. A pack of Chris Tam songs. Yeah, I'm actually reading it the way it's written. Christmas songs were released for SingStar. Far Cry 2 Fortunes DLC pack, which has new vehicles, weapons, and what else? I can't remember.
I don't remember. It was reported last
week. Oh, new multiplayer maps.
It was last week.
$10 or 800 space bucks. Jeff Katz, vice president of New Line Cinema, has revealed that he put together the Gears of War movie deal over Xbox Live. Katz told MTV, quote, "I do business on Xbox Live. When I was at New Line, I put the Gears of War deal together for the movie over Xbox Live. It's been good to me, so I'm loyal to it."
That's pretty sweet, man.
Making deals over Xbox Live.
Hey, well, this treats my stock.
Halo 3 Recon got a new name, and no, it won't make the game any longer. It's called ODST.
It's an expansion pack. Don't complain about the length.
I haven't seen the price yet. Then I'll complain about the length.
Hopefully it's 30.
Hopefully.
Dude, it'll be cheaper than that, I think.
I hope so.
I doubt it.
No more than 30.
Skate 2 will hit retailers on January 23rd.
I think it looks awesome. I think the expansion pack looks awesome, personally.
Oh, yeah. It does. And Skate 2 looks pretty interesting, too.
The first official DLC, Operation Anchorage.
Hmm.
For what game is this?
It'll be 360.
Yeah, but what game?
Fallout, I think.
Yeah, it's Fallout.
Fallout. Yeah. Operation Anchorage will be available exclusively for 360 and games for Windows in January, and more DLC is coming in February and March. Then they have like a...
There's a level editor for PC.
What's it called? The GECK?
The GECK.
G-E-C-K.
Yeah.
All the details are on your website.
Yes, go to ztgamedomain.com now. Blockbuster announced it would roll out a new digital media player to offer on-demand video.
That's the counter Netflix streaming.
Whatever. Nintendo UK confirming you can sell on WeSpeak. Despite the fact each comes with a unique code, any consumer who may have misplaced their Wii download ticket number for the WeSpeak channel or require a new number following a Wii exchange may contact their local Nintendo customer support service department, where they can request a replacement download ticket number. They give you money for a ticket.
Ticket.
Capcom has confirmed the Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix for European users has been delayed.
For the PS3.
For PS3. A glitch has been discovered in the Wii version of Tomb Raider that makes it impossible to finish the game.
That's a problem.
How did that get past bug testing?
I don't know.
The thing I read about that is that they apologize for it. I don't know.
My bad.
We apologize.
You can't finish the game. Whoops.
Sorry.
We apologize for making it completely impossible for you to finish our game.
Fable 2 has sold 1.5 million copies worldwide. It'll be over by the time you hear this, but there was a Black Friday sale on Marketplace, which kind of made me mad because the Guitar Hero... Metallica pack was on sale.
Yep.
Damn it. Microsoft confirmed that Banjo-Kazooie for Xbox Live Arcade was pushed back to Wednesday, December 3rd, so it'll be out this week. The latest issue of Famitsu has revealed that Capcom plans to release a demo of Resident Evil 5 on December 5th, at least in Japan. It will only be available to Gold subscribers and offer two-player co-op online and feature two stages.
You have a Japanese account. Get on it fast.
Yeah, actually, they'll probably IP ban again.
Well, probably.
Square Enix announced the DLC for Last Remnant. There'll be a challenge pack. It's free for gold members, released December 1st. It's got new challenging guild tasks. Adequate game progression is necessary. The second pack is the Key of Ancient Ruins. It's also free December 1st. For gold members, December 8th. For silvers, unlocks the gates to the ancient ruins with this key to discover what mysteries lie within its crumbling depths.
Dun, 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 dun.
March to War Set
probably some frame rate issues.
Is 100 Microsoft points for December 15th for gold members and silver, because it's pay. Three special unlockable formations, Scatter Swarm, Goblet, and Catapult, will boost your tactical strength during battle. And the Challenge Pack 2 is also free on December 22nd for gold members, 29th for silver. It adds the most difficult guild tasks yet. So four new packs for 100 points total. Only one of them costs any money. As we had talked about before, Destroy All Humans, Path of the Furon for the PS3 has been canceled due to development issues.
In North America.
Yeah,
but
Europe.
Yeah, word came out that they're going to release it in Europe, which makes the development issues excuse kind of
moot.
Yeah.
Speaking to Kikizo, Sony Online Entertainment's Kevin O'Hara has confirmed that monthly fees are going to play a part in the spy shooter, The Agency.
Yeah, if you didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I saw that coming.
You don't know anything about MMOs if you didn't see that coming.
Call of Duty World at War has a limited edition, has a double XP week. For all the details, go to ztgamedomain.com.
Plug!
Sony movies
Why
are now...
Why is it only for the limited edition? No, that's kind of shitty.
I don't know.
Because they bought the limited edition.
That's right. Special them.
Yeah, whatever.
Special.
Sony movies are back up on Netflix for the NXE, so you can stream those now.
There you go.
Sweet.
Video Game 247 is reporting that GameStop will sell the GTA 4 DLC, The Lost and the Damned, as a box product for $20. The box will not contain a disc, but a token card that contains a special code to purchase the content over Xbox Live.
Yeah.
The developers of Excite Truck for the Wii, Monster Games, are hard at work on another Nintendo-published game, one described as top secret.
Wonder if it's Excite Bike.
Kotaku is reporting that Acclaim is making a rock game called Rock Free. It's a browser-based game that will allow players to create their own rock avatar, open their own rock club, and engage in rock battles.
Rock battles.
With up to seven other players.
Shouldn't that say seven other rockers?
Rockers. Rockers. More than 40 new songs are slated to be
rock songs.
Produced for the game, with rockers having the ability to upload their own rock as well. And, of course, it's rockin' free.
Rock. Rock.
Gears of War 2 was patched.
Rock.
Rock. Sony are set to release an official company-branded AC adapter for the... What the fuck?
What?
Starting in the middle of December, you can grab it for $25. Not only... Oh, it's a controller. Okay.
No, it's a...
It's a controller recharger.
Yeah.
It will not only recharge your DualShock, but can also recharge one other peripheral at the same time. I thought they were talking about for the system.
No.
I was like, you really need a new AC adapter for your system that costs $25? What the hell?
What the hell?
Assassin's Creed 2, spoiler alert warning if you haven't played the game, may take place several hundred years after the events of the original.
Which, dun, dun, dun.
Wouldn't that be like the year 3000 or something?
Not that? Current day is what it said, so I don't know. It's kind of confusing if you played the game.
Well, yeah, because the game was in current time.
I don't know.
My guess is it means Altair's events of the original.
I think that's what it is.
So probably set 300 years after the Crusades.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't know.
Rock!
I want to rock!
I want to rock!
Acclaim
wants to rock!
All right, we can do some questions now.
Woohoo!
Man, we haven't been to these questions. This question we're reading now was from October 15th. How's that? How's that for out of sync?
Blast to the past.
And this comes from the power of sex himself. The power of the sex.
Right, the power of the sex.
Kevers. Hello, boys.
With several Zs.
Several Zs. I've had the opportunity to play the N-War beta. I'm not a fan of RTS games myself, but I was severely disappointed. I really thought there would be something in there to give the edge over the other RTSs. Mind you, the beta is only short, but I think it's pretty much showed its true colors in the first 10 minutes. The only cool thing about it is the voice commands, which surprisingly works very smoothly. My question is, have any of you played it, and is there something good about this game that I'm just not seeing?
Nope. I played the demo, and I wasn't that sold on it.
I'm not really.
And I've heard...
I haven't played any of it.
From people who played the full game, I've heard there's some balancing issues.
He also says, ZT, I know how much you love Brothers in Arms Hell's Highway. That's sarcasm and full effect. How cool do you think the voice commands from N-War would be if they were in Hell's Highway? I think it would have already made a perfect game stellar. My ass. They were in a game like that. It was called Rainbow Six.
They were also in another game like that. It was called SOCOM.
So there you go.
And those
they were
both
much
good
better games.
Games. So yeah, it might be good in Brothers in Arms.
Oh, yeah. Here you go.
Here's our other half of Smack and Row questions.
Smack and Row.
You know, we're going to have to do a podcast that's just all questions to get caught up.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
We're just going to have like a really short fondling section.
Well, now this is the game time is over.
Yeah.
So it's time to get back to it.
There you go.
Yeah. All
right. He says, L. I know you guys don't like the title AAA.
Hate it.
But what would you call a game that is straight dope? A day one purchase. It's a system sell if it's an exclusive. It's hated. It's loved. It's hyped. It's irrationally hated. It's irrationally loved. It's compared to another game for better or for worse. Its efforts are compared with other efforts in the industry.
I'd call it Halo.
Oh, snap.
I'm just kidding. I love Halo. I don't think you really have to call it anything.
I call it
Straight
dope.
I call it a great game.
I call it straight dope. I call it the awesome sauce.
I think the gaming community has sort of latched on to titles. Like we feel like we have to title everything. It has to have a classification.
It's triple A.
I have a title.
I see people saying games are single A and double A. I'm like, they're not fucking batteries. they're either really good games, they're awesome games, or maybe they're just okay games.
That'd be a C game. But
I don't like the classification A, double A, triple A,
you know,
C,
that, that
D.
That question should be question
9 L, volt.
L.5.
Yeah.
Anyway, M, character versus story. Character-heavy stories are for people that are intellectually lazy and have nothing to say. What do you say?
I disagree. I enjoy character-heavy stories, not because I can't make up a story on my own, but because I enjoy seeing what other people have made up.
You see, a character-driven story adds humanity to whatever you're watching or playing.
Can't have stories without characters.
Exactly.
Indeed.
You can, but they don't really work as well.
Yeah, you kind of...
No, you need characters with stories.
A good example of that is that the Mass Effect universe has a great overarching story around the entire universe, but it's the characters that they choose to focus on in the game and both books that really flesh out and give it like you said, give it humanity.
I'll tell you a game with good characters, and that's Chrono Trigger. There you go, right there.
Oh, awesome.
Whatever. Can I say one thing on N-War that no reviewer has mentioned? Sure you can. Scissor Cut Rock. I didn't believe it until I saw it. 0 out of 10.
That's what I was saying about, I heard some people said there were some balance issues. Apparently I am correct.
Scissor Cut Rock. It must be a piece of coal then.
Maybe it's really, really soft rock, like Foreigner.
Oh, I like watching Major League Gaming on TV. If you were creating a league, what 3 games would you include, and which would be the most TV-friendly? What are your interests in seeing high levels of play of?
This is an interesting question.
StarCraft, baby.
I think Halo's TV friendly, and it's a popular game, and it's a game that does require some skill. Probably not as much skill as other shooters, but
see,
that can be debated.
Call of Duty's a good one.
See, I would suggest Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix.
You said Chrono Trigger, I'm going to
plug every game you've played so far. Is that what you do every week? You just plug the shit you played?
Yes. Yes. I'm an advocate for...
Actually, you know what game I'd like to see played professionally? Portal.
Hmm.
That's a pretty good idea.
See how fast people can go through it?
That would be a good idea. It'd be interesting because every time you'd play it, it would have to be a different stages.
Left 4 Dead. That'd be interesting to
watch. Left 4 Dead.
Be interesting.
Granted, the show would then get an M rating.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
We need a good fighting game in there too, though. I think Soul Calibur.
I think
Street Fighter. I mean,
Street Fighter is what I would
go
with.
I'd like to see Soul Calibur though.
I'd like to see Killer Instinct. Damn it!
I think we'd all like to see a new Killer Instinct. Yeah. I don't think anybody has an N64 anymore.
Right.
All right. P. Which game or games do you wish had a hug button?
A hug button.
Fable should have a hug button. It seems like it should have a hug button.
I think Gears of War should have a hug button.
That
so
would be pretty awesome.
So right before you saw them, You should hug them.
Fallout should have a hug button.
So you Left 4 Dead should have a fucking hug button.
So I've been pressing that the whole time.
Walk up to a super mutant, just give him a hug.
Come here, smoker.
How about a hug? How about this?
If you say Chrono Trigger, I'm going to...
No. How about like Street Soul... Fighter. How about Soul Calibur, where, as a fatality, you do the hug...
That's Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. And then... No.
He's saying add it.
But here it is. Not only is it a hug, but it's also... I'm not gay or anything, but you do the whole... The kiss
what
on
the
cheek. It begins with a hug, and then the character kisses on like the left cheek, and then kisses on the right cheek, and then pulls out the sword and impels the dude. That would be how I would work that into like a Soul Calibur. So,
and this is why you can't get a date, because you kiss her and then you stab her.
I'm actually crying right now. Man, that's
right.
Awesome.
Next question. This is a good question for Killer Wolverine. How many blades is too many on a razor?
God damn it. Well, I have my experience, I would say 6.
I have 5 blades on my razor.
Yeah, same here. I got a 5 blade.
So it was 7?
6 is too many.
6 is too many?
Yeah, 6 is too many. I thought 5 would be too many, but it actually it's not
I
too bad.
I think 4 is comfortable. But it depends on your cutting needs.
Yeah, 5 is smooth, man.
Depends on whether you're trying to slit your wrists or whether you're talking about actually shaving your facial hair.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You can pretty much get away with a single blade if you're just going to cut your wrists with it.
Well, yeah, that
I like the 5 blade's pretty sweet.
For cutting your wrists? That's what you use?
No, for shaving.
Oh, gotcha.
All right. He says he has, this is R, he has a list of threads about the top most look forward to games of the year. This is obviously very old. As of right now, no one has Left 4 Dead on their list outside of me. Previously, it was on everybody's list. Is this information biased, like in question E? And if so, why has this not happened to me? It even did not make bonus round holiday games. No feature has been removed for the game, as far as I can tell. They even gave it dedicated servers. Has the game that aged off of everyone's list inside a year? Is there another example of this happening? I guess it was true that Left 4 Dead kind of left everybody's list. And
I think it's one of those games that people kind of take for granted.
Yeah, because they don't. It's not a it's not a top tier title
right.
That's really pushed out there in front of the world.
But I think this is a good game for word of mouth.
It'd be the BioShock.
Yeah, it's the BioShock for multiplayer games.
Yeah, I think it's probably due to the fact that it came out at a time where there were so many hyped games.
Yeah, there were just so
came
many
out
games
at the same time.
So many great single player experiences, and then you throw a multiplayer game in, and everybody's like, "I don't know about that." But then when people played it, they're like, "Holy crap, this is awesome!"
All right, T. This should lead into some creativity. A lot has been made about non-games, such as Flower and Flow. Non-game seems like a clumsy title of a category. Please coin a phrase, and please say what actually makes a game and what does not.
If you play it, it's a game.
So what kind of phrase would you come up with for a non-game?
There's no such thing as a non-game. Say,
what is a non-game?
It's a game that there is no goal.
A goalless
game. That's not a non-game. If you're playing it, it's a game.
But have you played Flow or Flower?
I played Flow.
In Flower, there really is no... You don't play.
I think games need goals. If there's no goal...
Why do you have to have a goal for a game?
I think a game is anything you play.
I agree with them.
See, I think a game is anything you have fun with. And Flow and Flower, not so much.
That's an interactive experience.
Oh, see, that's the weak
I think sauce. Anything you have fun with is probably a little loose, because I have fun watching a movie, but I wouldn't say it's a game.
Yeah.
I think anything you interact with...
That's fun.
That's fun is probably a game. So I don't think there's anything... I don't think Flow or Flower could be considered a non-game.
Does that make Shenmue not a game?
He's not here to
I should say anything that someone can interact with and have fun with is a game, because there's always somebody out there who's going to like something.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what to call a game like Flow or
I know what to call it, a waste of bandwidth.
There you go.
Wow.
There
no, I would just call it, I mean, casual game pretty much works, because that's what it is. It's a game for casual players, and it's a game you can play casually. much as, once again, I don't like putting games in categories.
Damn your categories. S. Is shot caller setting trends now? Are we now rhyming in about ourselves in our posting now? What do you guys think? He has one here.
I think I've got no rhyme.
Neo gaff sophomoric by half. Neither wise but ghoulish. Not an ish nor mannish. Johnny on N4G rhyming like Spanish. Smackin' Row is the DeLorean. Historian. Time shifting like Julian to Gregorian.
I like that. That flows very well.
This this episode of podcast has a lot of time travel references in it.
Don't start. Letter U.
So that was the question?
There was no question.
Awesome.
May I hear announcer guy sing a little of Back in Black?
Why, certainly. Back in Black, I hit the sack. It's been too long, and I'm glad to be back. Yes, I'm let loose from the noose that's kept me hanging around. I've been looking at the sky, and it's getting me high. Forget the hearse, because I can never die. I've got 9 lives, cat's eyes, cruising every woman, and never wondering why. And now your host, Zero Tolerance.
That was awesome. You know something? There needs to be a song in every episode now.
We'll skip over and come back to that one.
Yeah, we'll come
Part
back.
Part 3.
Holy we need shit. To get to somebody else's questions.
Dizlau Boy 916 says, "Hey, hey, crew, Killer Wolverine for president."
All our wars would be fought by throwing controllers at people.
Yes.
It says, "KW, that's a great pic on your MySpace of what? You of you shining some big silver guy on a bike's crotch."
What?
It was me putting up the Silver Surfer at the theater.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, so that's what they call it nowadays.
Silver guy cross rubber.
Silver surfing.
Yeah, they need love, too.
You're a silver guy crotch polisher.
You're just jealous because I don't
call it. You know what? I kind of like the phrase crotch polisher. I might start using that.
Anyways, so again, like all my posts and replies, I got to give the podcast crew kudos and tell you guys the N4G podcast is kick-ass.
Thank you.
And I'm hoping all of us can agree that you guys are cool because it's not about Sony. It's not about Microsoft. It's not about Gears. It's not about Resistance, so on. It's about the games.
You are correct, although it is about Gears and Resistance because those are both games.
It's about having damn fun, and that, in my opinion, is what makes you guys different from a lot of podcasts. At the end of the day, it's about if you had fun playing games, whether it be on 360 or PS3.
Boom, you nailed it.
And it looks like myself and you guys agree that the Wii doesn't count. It's not a gaming system.
It's a gaming system. I like my Wii. I just wish there were more games to play on it.
This question is, on a few podcasts before, I hear you guys are adamantly against pirating games, but love GameStop since you can trade in games and stuff. And no, I don't pirate games. It's not why I'm asking. I'm asking because of the feedback game companies give on GameStop reselling used games. So selling the game 5 times is almost like the same game. It's almost the same as 5 games being pirated since it's a game company being screwed over. What do you guys think?
No, because when you pirate a game, you don't give anybody any money for it.
Right.
At least when you're as much as people hate GameStop, at least when you're buying used games from GameStop, you're putting money back into the industry because
GameStop is the industry.
GameStop
it's part of the industry.
Is part of the industry.
A large part.
So they're a distributor for new games as well, which allows company to make money on new games. So putting money back into the industry is always better than just like buying a game online. You're putting money back into the industry,
and it always helps that it's legal.
Right. That's
whereas
the other
pirating
thing.
Games
that's
are not.
The other thing.
All right, number 2, since it's been asked, who would you kick in the nuts? There's been four people in the game industry that have been pissing me off, and I want to kick them in the nuts and tell them to shut the F up. So out of these people, who would you most likely invite to the podcast to kick them in the nuts and tell them to shut the F up? A, I ate everyone in the world, Gabe Newell. B, buy my game or you're stupid, Dennis Dyack. C, I killed the Dreamcast and blow Microsoft on the side, Peter Moore.
Wow.
D, promise breaking, don't cheat in my game even though I put it there, Peter Molyneux. Or E, who, if anybody else, would you guys invite to the show just to tell them to F off and kick them in the nuts?
Hmm.
I think David Jaffe needs
a
swift kick in the nuts.
I think
right
David
now.
Jaffe would need a swift kick in the nuts.
I mean, once again, I'm very disappointed in what David Jaffe said. But he doesn't deserve a kick in the nuts for it. If it's his opinion, it's his opinion. But I really just think all of them need to just kind of
there's a way
step back and say, hey, I think my game's awesome. You guys play it and decide. instead of being all about, you know, talking up their game at the expense of other people. I don't mind Peter Moore, though. Peter Moore's never really done anything that rubbed me the wrong way.
I like Peter. I do like Peter.
You know something? I wouldn't have it in me to kick anybody in the nuts.
For good measure.
Yeah, that's kicking somebody in the nuts is a little rough.
That is.
I do agree that most of those guys, although Molyneux's gotten a lot better, he's actually flipped the coin, and now he's talking, you know, saying, you know, I think my game's pretty good. It's probably about a 95%. You know, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
But, you know, everybody knows I love Silicon Knights, but Dennis Dyack was out of control.
Thing is, though, Dennis Dyack, I mean, he said a lot of outlandish things, but
right.
I still enjoyed listening to him because I felt like I feel that he's a smart guy, despite these little misleading.
I can respect the passion. Here's the thing. I used Gambus's. Here's the thing. I can respect the passion that each of these four guys has for their games. It's just sometimes I think people need to be a little more professional and realize that, they're game developers and they love their game, but they're also representatives of the industry at large, whether they want to be or not. So I just sometimes think people need to ignore forum posters, I think is what it comes down to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that...
There's always going to be forum posters that hate your stuff. You're just going to have to deal with it.
If I was a gameplay developer, I would have... I know that I would have to stay away from video game forums because I take things to heart. You know, if I'm making a video game and everybody's saying that it sucks, that would actually affect me.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I can definitely see why the stuff that people say on NeoGAF or other forums drives these guys nuts. I can definitely see that. But you just got to take the high road and say, you know what? I'm in a much higher position than some dude on NeoGAF, so I just need to let my game speak for itself.
Sometimes when you have constructive criticism, it helps them out.
Right.
I mean,
a fine line.
Not really.
Here's the thing. There's a difference between constructive criticism about the game and what the stuff with David Jaffe and the stuff with Dennis Dyack boiled down to, where it was they're just flat attacking the developer personally.
I
can see being very upset about that if you're one of those guys, but once again, you just got to
try and let
it slide.
Be the bigger man
and
win the battle by being the bigger man. I mean,
right.
There's always going to be assholes like that. I mean, we understand that. I mean, we're not assholes.
Right.
I mean, people who are assholes need to look back and, like, why are they doing this? Why? There's no point in it. You're just going to get attacked back and then make the publisher or the developer or whoever look stupid.
Right. I think that's the thing that bothers me the most about it is because all the Dyack stuff, if people on NeoGAF just would have been trashing the game and he wouldn't have said anything, he'd have just said, you know, I'll let my game speak for itself. Same thing with Jaffe. If he'd have just let the forum guy make fun of him and said, you know what, my game record speaks for itself.
But it goes back to...
It would have blown over, though.
Right,
no, but nobody would be talking
but
about
it. But it always goes back who's got the bigger, you know, member.
Right. Because, I mean, if the developer doesn't respond, then it's just some random foreign guy talking and nobody's going to listen to him.
Yeah.
So,
but you're right. I absolutely agree. Take the high road. Just take that shit in stride.
Right.
In one ear, out the other.
Just realize that there's always going to be people that don't like your
stuff.
And
they're making games and they're sitting there
just
on
like,
the computer.
I mean, 95% of the gaming audience doesn't like our podcast. So.
Right.
This is true.
And we take it in stride. We don't give a shit.
All right, next question. Anyway, for some reason, I'm curious about stuff on your guys' personal life. Hey, now, don't get too personal. So I don't know why, but the constant jabs from Zero to Wombat about his iPhone make me curious to what cell phone everyone else on the podcast has. By the way, 3G iPhone for the win.
Agreed.
And yes, I have Metal Gear Tourette's rant and the Lumines oots, oots, oots as my ringtones because I am an N4G podcast whore.
We appreciate that. That actually makes me smile on the inside that somebody out there has something from our show as a ringtone.
I'm kind of scared that when somebody's phone rings, my voice comes on and goes,
you're a celebrity.
I don't have a cell phone.
Yeah, that's right. Zero Tolerance, the host of a video game podcast, has no cell phone.
Nope.
But he's still easy to get a hold of, though. You know, he's
when he answers his phone.
I didn't hear it. Leave me alone.
Shut up. Answer your phone.
We know what kind of phone you have.
Yeah, I've got an iPhone 3G. There you go.
Whore.
Okay. Just because I like the phone doesn't mean I'm a wholesale Apple supporter. You know they send you Apple stickers, or they like give you Apple stickers in the box with the iPhone?
Of course, they want you to promote.
Yeah, I didn't put it on my car.
What kind of phone?
Oh, I don't know. It's a Samsung. It's a slider. I don't really know.
It's a slider. It's a tube slider.
What kind of phone do you have?
He has to look at it.
Motorola. It's like a...
Hello, Moto.
Oh, what is that?
Yeah,
I forget what that one is.
It's a Hello Moto.
I used to have a Samsung A700, but the reception on it sucked, so I switched it.
It's kind of like...
That's because you have Sprint, or you had Sprint.
Yeah, I had Sprint.
Yeah, my phone's kind of like the Razer, but without the folding.
Yeah, I used to have that. I forget what it's called now.
It's one...
Oh, it's called the Sliver?
The Sliver.
I don't know.
Sliver Slider.
I got a sliver of it.
Sliver Slider.
I got a sliver of it.
All right. What kind of cars do you all drive, and what's your dream car? You drive a clown car, don't you?
No, I drive a 2002 Jetta. I would like a Subaru WRX.
Ooh. That's not very fancy. I drive a Chevy Cavalier, and I would like to have a banana yellow Ferrari.
Nice. Oh, you're going up high. Oh, we're going high?
This dream car, man. Yeah, I ain't never going to have one.
I ain't dreaming about no Subaru.
I dream about Pontiac.
The WRX is just awesome. I don't strive for Ferraris because I wouldn't fucking drive it.
I can't drive a stick, so that would probably be an issue.
Yeah,
it'll make an automatic Ferrari.
And knowing if I knew how to drive a stick and I had a Ferrari, I'd probably wreck it. So,
I drive a 2008 Honda Accord Coupe. And it's slate gray, if anybody is wondering. And
license plate number.
My dream car is a white Lamborghini.
Ooh, that's
with
sexy.
Tan leather interior.
Nice.
That's nice. Okay, I drive a Saturn Ion 2004 model. I would like to have a Mitsubishi Lancer Evolution Custom.
Nice.
Bright yellow.
You know what I don't see anymore?
You going to wear your South Pole t-shirt while you're in it? Get you some hydros,
South
baby.
Pole.
Yeah.
You know what I don't see anymore that I want to see more of?
What's that?
The Prowler.
Yeah, those things were bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I saw one about a week ago tooling around Middletown, Ohio.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I guess I could have said my car was a 2005. Everybody else gave their year.
Yeah, bitch.
Yeah. I drive a 1979 Buick Regal.
I used to have an 01 Pontiac, but it got totaled on the highway because some idiot doesn't know how to brake when everybody stops.
Or go the speed limit in a construction zone.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. My favorite snack while pioning noobs in COD4 is Cheetos and Cherry Coke.
Nice.
What do you guys snack on while playing long sessions of video games?
Recently it's been peanut butter and crackers.
Nice.
The cheese and peanut butter crackers.
Yeah.
I got you addicted on those again, didn't I?
Yeah, I love them. I had a big box of them in about a day. Went through.
Dude, you can get a box of those for like a dollar.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Yeah. I got the big box.
You know which ones are really good? I don't know if you've had them yet. The Doritos kind that are jalapeno cheese.
I don't like jalapeno cheese, but I like the Dorito.
The Dorito crackers. Those are more expensive,
though. Yeah, but they're good.
Go ahead.
I think didn't we already answer a question?
Yeah, we did. We answered a similar question.
Yeah, I think the last.
Are you going to have wasabi
peas?
Wasabi peas. Yeah, that's
my
answer.
Lately, I've been rocking. You know what's actually good? The honey wheat pretzel twists from Rolled Gold are pretty delicious.
I've had those.
They're delicious and nutritious.
I eat peanut butter cereal and blocks of cheese.
I've eaten blocks of cheese myself.
Blocks of cheese are the bomb, man.
Oh,
I just have my peanut butter crackers and a 2 liter of whatever I want.
I got another snack. String cheese.
String cheese is good.
Yeah.
You don't ever had string cheese?
I don't like cheese.
That's right. You're weird.
I like Cherry Coke, or Cherry Pepsi, actually, and Mountain Dew.
Whatever I get at the store. It was Vault and Root Beer this week, which I went through today. So.
Nice.
I like to drink Squirt.
In other news, in 2 years, Killer Wolverine's going to be suffering from kidney stones.
Oh, probably. I don't doubt it.
All right. I have the crew on my Xbox Live and PSN for a few months now, and damn it, I have yet to play with anyone. This really does make me sad. Sometimes I get scared to send a game invite because I'm guessing you all get a lot of invites or messages and don't want to be bothered. So I'm really asking, how do you guys feel about your friends list? Do you have a preference about who and when you game with? Would you guys rather just game with people you know in person and so on and so forth?
No, actually, I don't really have a preference. It's just if you can catch me.
Yeah.
I'm usually online late at night when everyone's in bed.
And usually, I mean... if I'm...
it depends on what I'm playing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. If I'm playing a single-player game, then you can definitely shoot me a message. If you want to send me an invite, you definitely can. I can't guarantee that I'm going to join your game, though, if I'm playing something single-player. Now, if you see me playing Resistance or Warhawk or... you know, one of the multiplayer games I have on 360, and you want to shoot me an invite, then yeah, you got a better chance of me jumping into your game. But if I'm playing a single player game, I'm usually locked into it. So,
well, the only thing I can mention is that if I'm playing Rock Band or Scene It, you won't get a response from me
because
I'm not going to type on the guitar.
Right.
9 times out of 10.
Oh, I got to give a shout out to Maze 13. Me and him, we played some Left 4 Dead the other day. And the thing is, that game is like the game of the hour for me.
I haven't seen him online in forever.
Yeah.
So I hope he's...
And I would like to play with the Shredder. Because the Shredder, he sent me a message, and I'd like to play some Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, but he sent me a friend invite, and I look forward to playing a lot of people online. But like I said, I'm online when no one else
Well,
is.
Yeah, and as far as how we feel about messages, I think all of us in here really like to get messages on Xbox Live.
Yeah, it's easier to answer for me on Xbox Live because I have that little keyboard. But on the PS3, it takes me longer to respond.
Well, get the PS3 chat pad.
If it ever comes out.
It should be out
I haven't seen it yet.
It should be out this week.
Okay. So. My best moment listening to you guys is the story of the Halo 2 and who the fuck is killing Wolverine.
Yeah, that's a great story.
I kept asking myself what the hell happened after that when someone asked who the fuck is killing Wolverine. So for us who don't know, explain exactly what happened that fateful night when the golden question was asked who the fuck is killing Wolverine.
He got asked every night for like a month.
Did he answer like he does on the podcast? Fuck you. You suck. Shut the fuck up. I'm going to punch you on the dick right on the tip.
the first couple times that question got asked, it wasn't because Killer Wolverine was actually online playing with us. It was because
he was in our clan.
He was on the list of clan members, and so we were trying to figure out who he was. And then I believe that what exactly happened, and I don't even remember who said it now, but the first time he was actually on with us, I think somebody said, "So that's who the fuck Killer Wolverine is."
Well, what about the first time that you actually saw me in person? Why don't you tell that story?
Oh, that's a good story. It was at Boogeyman's 90th birthday.
Wait, that makes his mom like 112, and you've been
you
bad
like
at her,
the
so
old woman.
Yeah,
you get it where you can, right? We were all there. I was sitting across from, I don't remember who. I know I think Boogeyman was across the table, and then I forget who else, but Zero was there, and I was new to the circle, and I know. As Boogeyman put it, they don't like intruders.
They're very selective.
So at this time, I was working at a movie theater, and I got them all in, got y'all in. And then Ernie, one of our mutual friends, Dirty Toe, he's like, brought it up. We're like, well, he gets you in. Why don't you invite him to our functions? And so I got to know y'all that way. And then I didn't get to know Zero, but at Boogeyman's party, he sat there across the table with just a scowl, like he was going to leap over the table and just beat the shit out of me. Like, what the fuck is he doing here? Who is this idiot? So, yeah, they were very, like, he was just going to kill me.
Very selective about who got into the
room. We got to
room.
Put you through the trials.
Yeah. So he just looked like he was going to kill me because he's no
you pretty
intruder
much,
of the circle.
in order for to be accepted, you pretty much had to have somebody behind you going, "One of us, one of us."
All right, next
that was
one.
Fun, though.
This is more of a criticizing rant, but it ends with a question. I noticed the trend of a game. If a game has more money put into marketing, it turns out to be a big seller. For instance, I noticed a lot of games are notably the same game, but a few differences. But one game that gets more marketing and hype, and it sells, but the other game doesn't sell because it's either on a different system or didn't get the same hype and marketing as the other game that did. For example, Gears of War sold like crazy, but we all know at heart, at least in my opinion, that Gears of War is just Unreal Tournament with a chainsaw.
Wow.
Ninja Gaiden is hailed as the best hack and slash in the world, but games like Genji and Heavenly Sword are not even known in this generation.
That's because Genji sucks.
Tony Hawk has been the shit, but when a game like Skate comes out, it ain't a good game because we already have Tony Hawk and so on and so forth. And yes, goddammit, dare I say, I played Halo 3 in Haze, and oh snap, Diz Loud Boy said it. Halo 3 sold 6 million plus and received the hype of Jesus Christ himself, and to me it sucked just as much as Haze did.
Wow.
So what do you guys think of the marketing marketing and hype put towards games. Seems like gamers rely on reviews and one website scores instead of playing a demo and finding out for yourself. Seems to be the trend. Buy a game of other people want it too. I have it actually a flaw in his logic. Skate actually outsold Tony Hawk the year it came out.
Oh,
it sold more because it was a new experience and technically a better game.
You know,
usually hype sells, though.
Yeah,
it does. But, you know, people should play for themselves to judge. They shouldn't rely on other people's opinions. Read a review, fine, read it. To see what the, you know, if you... To see what the... what am I trying to say here? I don't know. Read it if you want to. I wouldn't pass... I wouldn't make a decision based on a review because I personally don't like to do that. I like to play it. And if I like it, I'll buy it. I rest squarely on demos. And word of mouth is a big thing for me, too.
Yeah, talk to people you trust. Well, I mean, here's the thing about hype. There's no question that not just in the gaming world, but in the movie world and the music world, hype is what sells. Hype and advertising is what sells everything. In the gaming world most of the time, though, unlike, in my opinion, in the music world, usually the games that get hyped like crazy have earned it at some point.
That's really what my thought was.
The Halo series earned its hype with the first game being so incredible. Gears of War earned its hype with the first game being so incredible. Mm-hmm. Metal Gear Solid 4 earned its hype by the previous three games in the series being incredible.
And Genji earned its not so hype from
because
the first game.
The first game was terrible. But I mean, usually, if a game or a game series has hype, there's a reason behind it. I mean, Microsoft wouldn't just throw hype behind Gears and Halo if there wasn't a fan base that was ready to be rabid about it. That's why you'll notice some games that the big two, I'm not going to include Nintendo in this because their hype is different. Some games that they come out with, you say, man, why didn't they hype that more? Well, it's because there wasn't an established fan base for them to hype it to.
Well, hype can also work in reverse, which is perfectly example for Heavenly Sword and Haze.
And Too Human.
Yeah, because the hype for Haze and Heavenly Sword were huge.
And Lair.
And they were just decent games.
And
they
Two Worlds.
Yeah, well, you just keep going. Keep going.
Yeah,
Two Worlds is a stretch.
Hype is only successful if the game can back it up. Because, I mean, I understand that you didn't like Halo, and I apologize that you didn't like Halo, but the fact of the matter is there are millions of people that disagree with you.
Me being one of them.
And when hype works, that's when you see games that just go nuts, like Halo and Gears. And when hype doesn't work, that's when you see games that get ass-raped in the review scores, like Haze
Lair.
And Too Human and Lair.
I buy into a lot of hype, or I did, but after being disappointed so many times, I don't care anymore. Like I said, I'm off word of mouth and demo.
All right, we're going to move on because we're running over time. We want to finish this one out. Do you guys think Sarah Palin is hot?
Yes.
She's like old enough to be your mom.
Yes.
She's very pretty for an older lady.
Is he her husband? He's like 12.
Wow.
I guess. Whatever. With all the rumors of EA making a console for the next generation, having enough EA brand games to roll out, what do you guys think of the chance of the PlayStation and Xbox coming together? I always thought it'd be cool because the console war between the Sony and MS fanboys would be over and it'd be about the games.
It'll never happen. It'd be nice.
Yeah, I mean, and there's always going to be somebody else in the market. You know, I mean...
And there's always the possibility that Sega might make games for Nintendo.
I don't think the market will ever get to where Sony and Microsoft need to combine to make a super system.
Unless one of them fails.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to fail.
I don't think... personally, I've been hearing about an EA console for, what, now, like a decade?
Right.
And it's not happened. So I don't buy it. I don't see EA going into hardware because they are the most successful software company ever.
Yeah.
So
I
don't see it.
I don't know. I'm kind of torn because, yeah, it'd be great if there was only, you know, if PlayStation and Xbox were merged and the fanboys would quit their bitching. But competition is what drives the industry, so...
There would be no more reason to advance.
I'll put up with whiny-ass fanboys to have the kind of games that we've had the last 2 years.
You don't have to listen.
Amen to that, brother.
And he says, thanks, guys. M4G Radio Podcast for the win.
Thanks,
down
sir.
With fanboyism and Nintendo.
Thank you.
I like Nintendo.
Let's all have fun gaming, just as long as the game isn't Two Worlds or Two Human. Ha ha!
Man, I was digging your question until the very end. and you had to put the dagger in my heart.
Keep rocking, guys.
Rock!
Thank you.
And ruling the podcast world.
Rock!
And that's it for the show. So now, your third one, we're going to actually be able to go home now.
Yes, this is the Thanksgiving.
Oh,
besides the loss of gas from your bowels just now?
I don't know what I'm gassy about. I haven't had any food, so at least it won't smell.
You know what it is? It's because this room is filled with men.
Men!
All of a sudden, we have gas and belches.
We are all manly men.
Yes.
Full of testosterone and
yes,
gas. Fire and gas and meat.
And death and carnage.
And... Women fall before our might. Gas. They stare at our hairy
backs.
Monstrous bodies. Hulking physique.
That reminds me of
chiseled jaw.
I was at Thanksgiving and somebody actually used the line. We went to her grandpa's and there was a guy there. The guy actually used the line. All women want me. All men want to be me. And he's a Gene Simmons lookalike.
Wow.
And I just kind of looked. When he said that, I looked up. I was like...
You know you wanted to be him. Secretly in the back of your head, you're like, man, I wish I was that guy.
I went home and started growing my hair out.
Oh, yeah. Gotta work on my long hair.
Rubbing some Rogaine on your chest.
I was. And my back.
Sprout, bitches. Sprout.
I put a chia pet on my head.
A full mane of chest hair.
You all right? You gonna die too?
Oh, man.
I'm gonna have to trim my chest hair with one of those old school lawnmowers that's not even got a motor on it. You just push it.
I thought you were going with like little hedge clippers.
I am a man. I shave with a knife.